number you had from a an ACLU lawyer.
It turns out that guy wasn't an ACLU lawyer. He's his specialty is constitutional law. He's with the Libertarian Party, and he offered me any help that he could.
Cuckoo.
But I did
Did he get you Lyndon LaRouche's autograph?
No, he didn't. But I did write a letter via email to the Virginia American Civil Liberties Union, and I got what I thought was sort of a dumb and unsatisfactory answer to that letter from them today. So I don't know how much help they're going to be. Hopefully we'll hear from somebody. Maybe they have an office around here. What I'm hoping.
I would think that the ACLU would be on our side. For goodness sake, doesn't the ACLU like help those Nazis have their stupid rallies?
The ACLU is all about freedom of speech.
Right.
And, you know, and all the constitutional freedoms that we are granted in this country. And it seems to me that that would be logical, but who knows? You know, I think they're totally subjective. They pick and choose who they want to get involved with.
Because we're supposed to be having the Las Vegas style show
right
tonight, our wildest ever. What you got there, Buzz?
This is the little letter I wrote to the ACLU. From where I sit, the Virginia Alcohol Beverage Control Board is an unchecked Gestapo whose authority has gone far beyond the regulation of alcohol. The board, for all its good work, is engaged in the prior restraint of free speech.
And at the end of this, did you attach one of your nude photos?
No.
One of your email pornos?
I was saving that for a reward if they were able to help us out.
All right.
In the Washington area, see, this is in Richmond, so I'm explaining. The WJFK's Don and Mike show recently got a call off the air from an ABC official.
Do you still have the letterhead that is your stationery, basically, which was, you know, with that faint print in the background that is you naked?
No, I'm using the station I'm using now has that reclining woman you often see on truck mud flaps. That's my favorite.
Okay.
The official warned that if the show took its nightclub act to a Vienna, Virginia club, fans of the show would be arrested for taking part in the show's body antics and so on. So I explained everything to them today.
Did you say body antics?
I did.
I thought body.
I thought
body.
They would enjoy that.
The ribaldry of the Donovan.
Anyway,
body.
You know the rest. So today I got this very short answer. I use my real name, so it says, Dear Mr. Elston, I am writing you concerning your recent letter to the ACLU of Virginia. I can understand your concerns regarding ABC policies. My question is, have you somehow had your rights violated by their policies? Sincerely, and then the guy's name. I'm thinking, you know, when free speech is suppressed, aren't all of our rights violated?
Yeah, the answer to that would be yes,
yeah.
We have been violated by them. They have threatened to put our listeners in jail if they show up and participate in our show.
I think I can help you.
Good.
Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he's doing is he's actually targeting. He wants to know if you specifically have
right.
a case.
It's
a very legal question that he asked you. And he's coming to you saying, you know, what specific case can I get involved with? You know, if there's something where I could take you and, you know, that's what he wants. He wants your personal involvement.
Well, then write him back, Buzz, and say yes.
I will write him back, and I will say yes.
There you go.
And send him that porno. Send him that same picture you sent me today.
And here is an example of my free speech at work.
And how did you title that to me? Today's picture?
What was the title of today's picture?
You know, and that always makes the picture. The Buzz always sends a wacky title.
My favorite was, We're Building Here.
Just a Taste.
That's right. That's what it said today.
Just a taste.
And he was right. It was just a taste. Just a taste.
Yesterday, it was Buffy Jody, time for your bath.
Buzz is filthy, man. Hello, Don. My son gets back from Europe because, frankly, I'm tired of the middle of the night phone calls.
Yes.
And last night, we got the phone call at 3 a.m.
Oh, man.
Then we got another phone call at 3:30 a.m.
Oh,
then we got another phone call at 4:30 a.m. when I finally said to my wife, listen, forget it. I'm up now.
Right.
You know, I might as well go to the station, call Mike, and we might as well go do our old morning show. Because it's 4:30 in the friggin' morning, and I'm awake.
So he was very excited. Lots going on,
well,
obviously.
He called at 3 a.m. He's in Germany right now, which was like 9 o'clock Germany time.
Right.
Called us to tell us, good news, he found a traveler's check.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not out of money.
Okay.
I said, okay.
Good.
Fine. Went back to sleep. 3:30 phone rings. Dad, got a problem. They were having a sugar cube fight,
right?
He and some of the other guys that he's sharing a hotel room with, and
those can hurt.
He threw one of the sugar cubes and hit this kid in the eye.
Oh,
he said, and the kid can't see out of the eye now, and his eyes all puffy. Oh, what should I do?
Oh my God!
Right, and like I hear the other kid in the hotel room going, My eye. I'm like, well, go tell the teachers. I don't want to tell the teacher. I don't want to get in trouble.
Go tell the teachers that it sounds like are in some other country while they're over there.
Well, the teachers are, you know, it's not like if Homo Joe was to take the boys to Europe.
Right.
They're all not sleeping in one big room together.
Sure.
They have like four kids to a room.
Right.
And then I guess the teachers have their own rooms. I'm not sure of the sleeping arrangements.
Ooh, but,
They didn't want to go tell the teacher.
Right.
So, you know, at that point, now I'm up. I'm sitting up in bed. I said, no, you got to go tell the teacher. Go tell the teacher, and if the kid needs to go see the doctor, go see the doctor.
Kid, obviously, that he hit had a low pain threshold, too.
So we go through the whole rigmarole. 3:30, finally, I hang the phone up, go back to sleep. 4:30, there it is again. Dad, want to let you know, he had to get drops for his eyes.
Mm.
He'll be fine. The doctor cost $25. Dad, do you know that $25 is about 100 marks? Dad, it costs 110 marks. And by this time, you know, I'm just wide awake.
It's over.
So forget about it.
You're up.
I can't get back to sleep.
When's he come back?
He comes back tomorrow. Thank God.
Thank God he's coming. It sounds like he kind of routinely calls you. First thing in the morning, this time. Or is that the middle of the day?
No, it's about 9 a.m.
About 9 a.m., yeah.
We made the mistake of telling him...
Call anytime.
Call anytime, because we were so desperate to hear from him.
Well, it's also probably what you want to say to somebody when they're going overseas, you know, when the kid's going overseas. Call anytime. In case there's any emergency, he'd never feel bad about calling you.
And frankly, now that he's over there, you know, we don't want to make him feel bad by saying, listen, you got to stop calling us at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Because if you say that, then he won't call if something bad happens.
And there are some parents that we've talked to who have said, hey, have you heard anything from Bart?
Right.
And we say, are you kidding? He calls us like 20 times a day. And they say, well, we haven't heard anything from our kid. Our kid hasn't called us once. Weighing that out, I guess they would rather have those calls. So I'm a little sleep deprived.
Right.
Come into the station today. Now listen, I've got nothing against Brenna, the sales lady.
Uh-huh.
Except she is simply, as far as I can discern, the stupidest person on 2 feet. And I'll tell you why. It's the parking space thing again.
Yes, the parking space issue has reared its ugly head once again.
Now, you know, when I come into work every once in a while and someone's down in my spot, I don't make a big deal about it. I swear to God I don't.
Right.
I take another spot.
Mm-hmm.
I park up on the top deck. Mm-hmm. I take Ken's spot. I take Alan's spot. It's not a big deal. But this sales lady, Brenna, I can't tell you, at least 2 times a week, this bitch takes my parking spot.
I thought I was going to, I must tell you, I really feel now, I am feeling guilty for what I did, because I thought that I was going to take away all of your anxiety by taking the mint snuff little containers.
You did
and
not.
Dumping them all over her seats.
I appreciate it. Now listen,
I thought that, I really, and then when you were still angry after that, that meant that my action had done nothing to take away your anger.
I appreciate your bit of rage.
Yes.
And for the moment, I did feel better. But
it didn't last long.
Listen, the bitch takes my parking spot all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not like this happens once in a while.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, there's not a lot of parking spots down there.
No, they're very tight down there.
It's one of the few caveats that we have with our contract that
it
we get parking
contract.
Spots.
It really is. I mean, you know, I think I said this to you in the office. We do have a contract, and it is in the contract that we are to have them.
Furthermore, there are signs that are posted all over the radio station that show the parking grids and whose space is what.
That is the problem. And let me speak to that problem right now. The problem is the spots. I've been in offices where you clearly know that when you pull into a space, it's one word. It says reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in big, bold letters. They don't,
well, we don't have
those
here.
No. And that's all you need. And that, of course, if it was reserved and somebody was working here, that would still happen.
But listen, come on. Everybody knows what our cars look like.
Right.
And certainly you come into a parking lot 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, every week of the goddamn year.
Right.
You know what cars go in what spots. So I pull in again today. And, you know, let me just, now that I'm thinking back to it, it was twice last week.
It was
twice the week before that we were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 times the week before. Every day I come in and this girl is in my parking spot.
There is really not. It's so irritating. It really is. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, when you have something.
And there's no place to park down there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you don't have one of the reserve spots, forget about it. You got to park a mile away. So when I pulled down there today, I saw Mike and Tim McWilliams and David Hainlein. And, of course, Tim McWilliams, big smile on his face. Hey, Donnie. That's Brenna in your space again. That's Brenna in your parking space. Oh, that Brenna. What are you going to do about that, Donnie? I said, gee, I don't know, Tim. Meanwhile, I'm trying to find another place, so I steal Alan's place. While I'm parking my car, I notice Mike goes up to Brenna's car, which is a convertible,
right.
And she has a big box full of what looks to be like containers that you would put chewing tobacco in.
Yeah, she said it was chewing gum, but it's the mint snuff things,
right.
The little containers.
And we've given them away on the show.
I said, this will make a nice statement. And so I dump all the little containers out on her front and back seat. I said, this will add, and I was
But I've been being conservative. I think that'll add 8 minutes to the next place she has to go.
But like I say, I appreciate that. One buddy to another.
I thought that would take care of
it. I appreciate it.
And then I felt like it was piling on that I had done that because you were already mad and you yelled at her anyway up in the office. And so then I felt like, well, now I wish I hadn't done that because now she's going to go down there after this. She has certainly got, I certainly hope that she gets the message now, but it's almost like I feel like it's almost like too much. As much as I am mad at Bretta for taking my space a lot too, which she does, she takes yours a lot more.
I'll tell you what the deal with Bretta is. The deal with Bretta is that she's a good looking woman,
mm-hmm.
and she's used to getting her way,
right?
Because she's a good looking woman. Just like when she came up to the office, she stands in front of the desk. Mike's on the couch. I'm sitting behind the desk. She gives me those big puppy dog eyes, and she goes,
right.
"Listen, I'm having a bad day today."
That's what she says every day.
"Listen, I'm having a bad day today." I said, "Brother, frankly, I don't care." I said, "Why do you take my spot all the time?"
Look at hates all women here.
No, I love all women.
I had a good talk with today, Madonna. I had a nice talk from the
Don't start about
good.
Madonna.
No,
Robbie.
But I like Madonna, but I just want to say, this is just like, do you remember Melanie? The blonde-haired salesgirl,
yes.
who also had the same problem. It seems to be sort of like a running theme.
Sure.
Good-looking girls at work here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, of course, as I was going, well, you'll enjoy what I left on your front seat. And then, of course, you know, I get the F you. And then she walks out.
Here's what she says. She comes up to the office, and I said, "Brother, why do you take my spot all the time?" I said, "All the time you take my spot. You know that's my spot." She said, "I thought it was Ken's. You know, I called in, I thought it was Ken's." Now, listen, Bretta, and I said this to her face, I swear to God, I said, "You're not stupid."
Right.
"You know, there are 5 parking spots down there."
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it goes. Buzz, Mike, me, Ken, Miss Bobby.
Alan.
Yeah. G. Gordon Liddy. I mean, the same cars
are
in the same spots every day.
Uh-huh. In one row.
It's pretty obvious to anybody that comes down to that office which spot is Ken's.
One row. It's based on revenue. Okay?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then why does Buzz have a first spot?
Because Buzz has an agent.
Because I'm nice.
Okay. Well,
listen. I'm just pissed at Bretta. I'm just pissed at her. There's no two ways about
it. I guarantee you she knows
I'm
that.
I'm more pissed at her than when she came in here that day
mm-hmm.
and started screaming about the towing company and she had the wrong towing company and she almost got the station sued.
I know.
I'm more pissed.
You're more pissed. And I understand because I've been in the same thing. For me, David Hayline is the biggest violator. But David Hayline was delighted to see that somebody else had taken your space today. They were both.
Jimmy
Williams and David Hayline were both having a great time.
The salespeople, they're like a bunch of dogs that live in a pack.
They're cannibals.
There,
right?
They're cannibals. If anything bad happens to anybody else in the group,
they'll chew each other's arms off.
They love it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. So listen, Bretta, please. Never park in that space again.
Right.
Or next time, I'm just going to have your car towed.
I'm just going to have it towed.
That's fair.
Or maybe I'll just loogie in your car.
What do you think about that, Bretta, huh?
I've been known to loogie in cars before.
No, you never did that.
No, never did.
Right.
Thought about it, though.
Right, sure.
Thought about loogieing in somebody's car that wouldn't pay us for a live commercial that we did.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Come on, Mike.
There's a statute of limitations on that.
God. Man, let's go bungee jumping again. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Right, just shut up, okay? Hey, I know that. Okay, let's not talk about it anymore.
I wouldn't even have remembered it if you wouldn't have said it to me.
Okay.
When you threw the stuff in our car, and you said, I said, "Wait, why'd you do that?" And you said, "Well, it could have been worse. I could have spit in our car."
All right, so I spit in somebody's car one time.
Oh, God.
No. Oh, come on. So
I have no memory of that.
Just a joke, Mike.
Yes, that's right.
Just kidding.
A joke.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's right. You never really did.
Big fun.
That's right.
So anyway.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Expecting me to come in to work the next day after I had chemotherapy.
What, do you work here?
No, I work down here in Greenville, South Carolina.
I thought you worked here at WJFK.
No.
You have a boss like that. So he expected you to be in.
And I you guys because, you know, after chemotherapy, I feel like crap, and then I turn you guys on, and I feel the greatest in the world. I lost all my hair. It's finally growing back.
All right, so you're doing all right?
I'm doing okay right now, guys. And if it wasn't for you guys out there talking to me every afternoon when I come home from work, I go nuts.
So you think this guy's on the level? You think this guy's on the level?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I actually do. I do.
I mean, because, you know, I saw my dad die of cancer, and then I came up, and then they diagnosed me with the same stuff. And I stayed on here with my grandfather. He's 90 years old. I'm taking care of him because I'm the only family he's got. And I was nuts if I didn't have you guys to listen to in the afternoon.
I don't believe this guy. No offense. He sounds to me like it's a goof call.
I'm not sure.
I'm serious.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just got hearing you guys getting screwed like that. It just reminds me of getting screwed down here. I mean, you know.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir.
Well, you know, we
God
appreciate
you
that. That's the nicest
right.
thing anybody
God
ever
bless
says.
Bless you guys.
If,
you're
if
great.
This, if this call's on the level, thank you.
Yes, my name is David. I'm down here in Greenville, South Carolina.
All right, thank you, David.
Don't let your boss
you
get you down.
Yeah. Guys, I hope you do okay. God bless you guys.
I'm fine, thank you. God bless you, David.
Thank you, sir.
Take
I love
care.
You guys to death. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We're not going away, man.
You're not. I pray to God every day when I hear you on the radio that you're there for me.
We're not going anywhere. Don't worry about it.
I know that, but, you know, I thank God every day that I hear you.
Well, thank you.
That's
thank
nice
you.
Of you to say that. That.
You're wonderful, guys.
Thank you.
You give me something to look forward to.
Well, thank you. Thanks, David. Hang in there.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bye.
All right, I guess I was wrong. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, it's horrible, isn't it? I mean, because you're always singing. Sure. And then it's like,
you guys suck.
And then the phone's going to come
That's
crashing.
That's what I was waiting for.
But nobody understands it more than that guy. If he listens that regularly,
true
he knows
enough.
That. You know, we have to be that way because we've been hurt so many times.
Right.
Hello, John.
Thanks,
the worst thing, you can't do it. You really can't do it. You can't take a compliment like that, which if it is legitimate.
Someone says they have the big C.
And that they, you know, keep on going because they like this show. That is, if it is legitimate, one of the nicest compliments that you can ever possibly
get. But
how
do we ever know if it's really legitimate?
But if you get all buttery and you're sitting there going, man, that is really, and then it's like, yeah, I'm lying. You suck.
Right.
It's happened to us before.
Sure has.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mike. I'd like to express our anger by...
Oh, is this the guy? Hold on. Is this the guy with the gun?
Yeah.
All right, this is a guy who would like to do a 21-gun salute in protest of Ken Stevens.
Really?
Where are you calling from, sir?
Greenville.
Greenville, are you in an area where you can shoot your gun?
Oh, yeah, I'm in my backyard.
I guess in Greenville, that's an area
that's
where
right.
you can shoot your gun.
Okay, go ahead. Sure, 21 right. times.
Here goes.
See, once again, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
And I think this is legit again. I think I heard the...
I just got to hurt himself.
Yeah, just be careful with that gun. Sounds like he's good with weapons. What kind of gun do you have there, sir?
Well, Don.
Yeah, hey, what kind of gun is that you're trying to use?
It's an SKS. It's the gun that was motivated the military to make the AK-47.
So it's basically an assault weapon.
What are you doing with a gun like that? What do you need a gun like that for?
A little self-defense.
Well, self-defense, who do you think's coming after you?
You know, you never know.
You never know. Obviously, you know how to use it real well, too.
Well, my brother loaded it last. He loaded it wrong. All right, here goes.
Okay. Christ, you're going to scare me. I swear to God.
Hey, wait, can I ask you a question?
Sir?
Yes, sir?
Hello?
He's trying to load his gun, Mike.
Hey, buddy?
Hey, you.
There he goes.
Did he shoot it?
I think he did. I think so.
Hello?
Hello?
Reloading.
This idiot's really shooting a gun.
You know, I'm hoping he's not, like, shooting live rounds into a residential area. You know, bullets do come down.
They fall. They hurt people.
I mean, if he's out in a rural area, there's no problem.
Rob?
Yes, NRA member, Rob Speedway.
I am an NRA member. A simple fact is that, remember, bullets come down at the same speed they leave the gun.
Right.
That's simple physics. Mm-hmm.
Hello? Cletus?
Yes.
You know, this show runs the gamut, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Just 30 seconds ago, we had a guy professing his love for us,
right,
saying that this show is the only thing that gets him through cancer.
Yeah.
We were screaming at our evil boss 20 minutes ago, and that is some idiot shooting his gun in the backyard. Sir?
Yeah.
Are you like in a residential area?
Ah, no, man. I got 21 acres.
Oh, okay. All right.
Want me to do more? I can move up real good and we'll go fast this time.
No, you know, listen, don't scare me, man. And assault weapons are really bad.
This ain't an assault weapon. This is legal.
It's legal?
Yeah. I ain't bringing my illegal ones out.
How many rounds did you shoot?
I only shot a couple of them. I dropped on my ammo out. I can load it up with about 11.
He ain't bringing his illegal ones out.
And you are shooting this gun as a protest to Ken Stevens?
God.
Yeah, you want me to shoot all these?
He's got all his ammo.
I'm sorry. I don't like guns,
neither
man.
Do I.
Oh,
I
mean, man, hold on. This will be a good
I like the thought. I love the thought
of
guns.
Wait.
No, the thought that you'd like to fire guns, you know, because you're mad at Ken Stevens.
Right.
The thought was enough for me.
But It's 10 more seconds.
No more shooting.
No, come on,
no.
Please.
No. Stop the insanity.
Please.
Well,
please, for us, please put
and
the gun
appreciate,
down.
We appreciate your little gun tribute.
Thank you, though.
Hold on, 1 second.
No, thank you.
He wants to see.
I knew that was coming. You put it on automatic.
Jesus Christ.
How was that?
Terrifying.
Okay, please don't do it again.
All right, I will.
Okay, thank you.
See you.
There he goes.
Bye-bye. He's the NRA.
Yeah.
And he votes.
What a show, man.
Unbelievable.
All right, one more call. Let's talk to Mike, the TV boy, and see what he's got for us today. Hello, Mike.
This is William Shatner.
Oh, William Shatner, of course, is a sad day for William Shatner, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you have anything to do with your wife's drowning?
Huh?
Did you have anything to do with your wife's drowning?
Over the course of the past several months, it had become increasingly clear that the marriage was simply over.
Oh, really?
Wow. Well, I'm not sure. I don't like that answer, William.
William? William? William, answer my question directly. Did you or did you not have anything to do with the drowning of your wife?
Jesus Christ, no.
Okay, that's it.
We got
the definitive answer. I'm going to give Mike the TV boy some credit that his last couple of calls have been lame, but this one seems to be working out pretty good.
Right on the mark.
So you didn't. You didn't do it.
No.
No, okay, all right. I'm there with you.
Well, I'm relieved to hear that, William.
You say you have proof? What kind of proof?
Oh, no, I don't have any proof. I just said that I thought it was shaky that the cops had a press conference 20 minutes after your wife was discovered, and they said that you weren't a suspect.
We have no proof. You sound a little paranoid, and but you deny any involvement in her death?
I'm telling you now, stay out of my life.
Hey, there's no need for you to get upset.
Don't get angry. Don't get angry. What did you say, Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
Don't be upset, William.
What's the answer again, that you had nothing to do with her death?
I'm telling you now, stay out of my life.
We're staying out of your life.
We are just commenting on items in the news.
That's some sort of accusation.
No, it's not an accusation. It is not.
Do you have any idea how many enemies I have out there?
Many.
Do anything. Say anything to bring me down.
I know there's lots of people out there that hate you, Captain Kirk. Lots of people.
Mm-hmm. But
we're not among those people. We're Kirk lovers.
Yes.
I think, it's like when they tell you to go back to your seat.
Right.
That happens on a radio show, too.
Everybody buckle up right now.
That's everybody getting slammed in that little segment there. I think Rob and Buzz were exempt for that one. But, I mean, if we kept on the line with these people, you guys would be included.
They would have gotten to us.
Well, every once in a while, people want to bust balls. You have to remember what time it is. It's the end of the week. I call the lonely hour. So, when people are realizing that they're alone and they're not going to be with anyone, and that's when the angriness and the bitterness really comes out.
These are guys who don't have dates tonight.
If a guy calls to bust balls.
Hi, this is Gil. Please leave me a message press 1 to send me a page.
Yeah. Hey, Gil, you big pussy. Hey, big pussy. Hey, pussy boy. Call a radio show, say something about my wife, then hide, then hang up the phone.
Run.
Big pussy. Pussy boy. Hey, Gil the pill. Gil the pill.
Gil, Gil.
Gil. Gil. Hate me. Hate me. The bad part. You know what I mean, Gil.
Kiss the bad part.
Kiss it.
Kiss the bad part of your butt.
Come on, kiss it. Kiss it real good, Gil. Kiss it. Go on, kiss it. Now, shoe fly.
All right, dude.
All right. Well, you know.
Yes, but that was a certain measure of satisfaction.
I do love that caller ID. Damn, this is the pettiest show on radio, isn't it?
Yes.
This is the pettiest show ever.
That's right. We're not beneath them. Nothing's beneath us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, y'all just got me rolling on the ground.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, turn your radio down. Maybe you'll stop rolling.
What if you're like that guy at SeaWorld? Listen, Buzz, I do have an update on that.
Really? With bite marks.
And I want to tell you something. This is why I tell you to get the newspaper and to read the goddamn newspaper.
Okay.
This is in today's Washington Post.
Wow.
Inside the paper on page A10.
Okay.
I had the paper today, and I didn't see that item. All right. Mike, what was the number one question you've asked?
I asked if there were bite marks around the guy's crotch area because there was evidence that the whale had ripped off his shorts.
The man found dead, nude, and draped across the back of a SeaWorld killer whale was identified as Daniel Dukes, a drifter who lived briefly as a Hare Krishna in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
There was one bite mark on his body in his groin area.
Ah, there was a bite mark.
That occurred sometime after death, the medical examiner said.
Ah, so it was down around. I wonder.
No.
So the shorts could have been removed after post-mortem, as they say in the coroner's office.
The medical examiner said, when the whale used its razor-sharp teeth to rip off Duke's green shorts.
Duke.
Wow. Okay? That's Buzz?
Yes.
That's why I want you to read the newspaper.
I
should read it every day. Cover to cover.
He's probably a drifter and he didn't have a place to live. So mm-hmm. if you ever see a guy like that, you know, in your neighborhood, it's always a good idea if you see him, ask him into the house and put up your Dukes.
Duke.
I'm sorry.
Duke. That's another word like for poop.
Yeah. Take a Duke.
I have a nice Duke. Look at that Duke.
Like, say, out of my brother-in-law. That's his favorite name. He's the first one who told me that one. He's like, oh, you got a Duke.
What a big Duke. I remember laughing when I was a kid. Do you remember when the NFL football used to have written on it?
The Duke.
Duke?
The Duke.
We used to laugh about that. Look, they're playing with a football that's the Duke.
The Duke.
And there's a hi. What did you want?
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When are you going to be doing another live show, Howard Nation?
I don't know. We got a live show coming up in a couple of weeks in Baltimore, though.
Not sure when we're coming back down to Nation, though.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's July 21st.
Right.
We will be at Dinosaurs outside Baltimore with the next Las Vegas-style show.
Thank you. Okay, thanks a lot, Madonna Mike.
All right, see you later. Hello there, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
My husband and I have been cracking up all week about your show earlier when you were talking about porn names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that too.
Yeah.
My name is Buffy Grandview, and his was Blackie Vesper.
They're great. What you do is take the first name.
Right.
The first name is the name of your dog, your first ever dog or cat.
Right.
And the last name is the first street that you've ever lived on.
That's true.
And that's how you come up.
I wondered if you guys knew what Ken Stevens' name was.
We didn't make it through the entire set, but I remember Don's was Shushu Norbeck.
Shushu Norbeck. And what was your Mike?
Louis Evergreen.
And Buzz, yours was?
The very manly George Glenn.
Oh, that's right.
What was yours, Robbie?
Pepper Park.
Yours sounds like it would be a good name for a woman. I don't mean to insult you, but Pepper, you know, I think of Angie Dickinson.
You know, let me call Ken, as a matter of fact.
That is fantastic.
Ken Stevens. He's here today.
Tim McWilliams.
Vice President and General Manager for CBS Radio, Ken Stevens. Although it's after 5.
Yeah. Maybe he's shot out of a can.
Already split.
Yellow.
And there was a big old BMW.
Good mark.
No, he's gone.
He's not here. He's gone for the weekend.
All right, let me try Tim McWilliams.
McWilliams. Because usually it just works out great.
Yeah. You're curious to know what Tim McWilliams was.
Hey there, Don.
Hey there, Big Mike. Hey, Donnie.
He grew up in a neighborhood with mobsters, so this could be an interesting
name. Nobody's here. That's the problem. We're calling on Friday afternoon, and everybody's gone.
His name would be something like Duke 31st.
Everybody's gone. Let me just call up at the front desk and see who's here and who's not.
That's a good idea.
So we don't have to waste time.
Insanity Broadcasting, WFK.
This is the 12-year-old guy that's answering our phones right now.
Oh, do I hate this kid. You should have seen this kid today.
What did he do? You hate him already?
Yeah, he just stands around all the time.
Oh,
you're the intern with the streaked hair, right?
No, it's not streaked. It's just blonde.
It's highlighted, isn't it?
No.
Oh, come on. It's highlighted.
No, me and my friend, we did it like, you know, we decided to do it for the summer for fun.
How old are you, kid? They have you on the front desk here. How old are you?
17.
How does a 17-year-old rate answering the phones at a major market radio station?
There's nothing else for me to do.
Has everybody else left the building?
Just about.
Hey, boy, whose intern are you?
The station.
He's the general station intern, and they're having him do all sorts of tasks around the building.
All I know is every time I come around the corner, he just stands there.
Is the lovely Colette still in the building?
No, she's on a break.
She's on a break, which means she's gone for the weekend.
Yes.
When I was walking into the studios today, the kid was at the front desk, this mm-hmm. kid that's answering the phones,
mm-hmm.
and I came through the lobby and I said, hey, Homo Joe, how you doing? And I heard from behind the glass partition there, that's Homo Joe? You're Homo Joe? Oh, this kid's annoying.
All right, you just got to keep quiet. That's the best thing to do, young man. You keep those thoughts to yourself.
Okay.
How many of the salespeople are here, do you know?
Not many. Most of them left.
All right, now you're not putting any effort. Let me teach you something about
try
effort.
Try breathing with your nose, not your mouth.
All right, you're not putting any effort. When you say not many, most of them left, that's not telling us anything.
Okay.
What salespeople are here right now?
I don't really know. I know
bad answer.
Here.
Senate. We need an adult on the front desk.
How ridiculous is this?
This is CBS.
This is CBS Radio. And listen to this kid. Beavis is at the front desk.
This is my first week, though.
It is your first week. We're not mad at you, young man. We're mad at the people that have put you in this position of responsibility.
It's ridiculous. What if I'm some advertiser? What if I'm Mr. Budweiser? I'm calling to make a $1 million deal.
Right.
And, you know, and I have to talk to Bobby Brady at the front desk.
Has everybody split? Has everybody split today?
Many of them are gone.
No, some people are still here.
Who?
I don't know. I don't really know many people's names.
That's the second I don't know, young man.
What if Mel called? Now, what if Mel Karmazin?
Did you hear what he said? He said who?
Do you know who Mel Karmazin is?
The big cheese, I guess.
Right. What if he calls? I pray that Mel calls today and asks for Ken or for Jeremy or somebody.
Ken's not here.
That's right. Then perhaps when he calls, you can say, "Who are you?"
No, I know him. I know.
Okay. So have you been able to figure out? Is anybody there? Is anybody there to help you?
No.
You're there all by yourself?
Yep.
Do you have any hair down there, son?
Oh, God.
Do you?
Yeah.
He's 17 years old. That's too young to be manning the front desk of a major market radio station. Mm-hmm.
You ever been?
Colette's a good t-shirt.
You ever been laid?
I don't know. My mom's probably listening right now.
Oh, mommy's listening. What grade are you in, boy?
I just graduated Woodson High School.
So you graduated early. Earlier than most of your compatriots. You're younger than most of your...
Oh, yeah. I'm a year younger than
you. Did Mr. Coleman hire you?
Who?
Are you one of Mr. Coleman's boys?
No.
You know Jeremy?
No. Donna Caruso. My mom's best friend is Kimberly John Pop's wife.
All right, so it's a John Pop connection.
So you have the job here because you're friends with somebody. Your mom's friends with somebody.
Yeah.
There you go. Nepotism always works.
Where are you getting credit for this internship?
Huh?
Where are you getting credit for this internship?
Now, John Pop is coming in to defend.
Here,
I believe
John.
He's coming in to defend.
All right, here comes John Pop.
Here comes John Pop, everybody. Producer of the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Over 10 years of radio and entertainment experience.
Hello, John. And we can put that to work for you. I just want to say, since my name was brought up, that I did make a slight recommendation, but that's about it on this one.
So you're bailing out on him.
Well, I didn't get the job at first. The guy broke his leg who got the job.
Yeah, he didn't get the job.
What an effed up station this is.
Wow.
Funny place to work.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But he's a nice guy, I guess. I barely know him.
So, but his mom is friends with your wife?
Yes, she works with my wife. And that's how I found out that he was looking for a job. Put him in touch with Donna, and the rest is history.
He's not getting paid, is he? Are you getting paid, young man?
$5 an hour.
Oh, no! Listen to that. That's injustice. What is minimum wage in this country? Like $7?
$5.15.
What's minimum wage?
$5.15.
So they're paying him 15 short of the minimum wage. Oh, we're in trouble now.
Well, it's an internship, so, you know.
It's an internship. That's why you shouldn't get any money at all.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a funny place to work with.
Sure is.
All right, well, thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, John.
Have a great weekend.
I'm a big fan of your show, though, guys.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you, young man.
Thank you.
What is your name? Is it Beavis?
No, it's Cameron.
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 All right. Is Mr. Coleman here today?
Yeah, he is.
Hey, very good. That was the first question that was answered that item.
Why do we have a boy answering the telephones here?
He's 17.
He's a boy,
in
man.
In other countries, you know when you start to work in other countries, much younger.
This is not a Nike shoe factory, man. This is a CBS radio station. Really, what if Mel called? Who would be in trouble if Mel called and the 17-year-old was answering the phones?
It depends how he answered the phone.
That's right. If he said who, I bet there would be hell to pay.
But that wasn't your hire, huh?
No.
Hey, do we have to figure out Jeremy's porn name?
Yeah, Jeremy?
Yeah?
We need the name of your first dog and the name of the street that you first lived on.
That's right. Your first name is the name of your first dog, and then the last name, your last name for your porn name is the first street you lived on.
The dog would be Mackenzie. And the street would be Kensington.
Mackenzie Kensington. All right. That's a good porn name. Excellent. All right, thank you, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's take one more call, then we're out of here. Hello, Donna, my show.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, we're doing great, thank you.
I was calling because I have two things. The first one is, I used to go to Marymount University, which is very close to WAVA, where you used to work, and I used to listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
And I loved you guys.
Where are you calling from now?
Oh, I'm in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Beautiful.
And when I heard you guys down here, I was so excited that I hadn't even realized you all were syndicated. And so I was so excited to hear you down here. But I wanted to tell you, And I'm sure you don't remember because you do so many of these shows, but about, I guess it's like 1991, and this is so stupid that I'm even bringing it up, but you guys did a show at Lulu's one time, and I'm sure you did tons of them, but you did a show at Lulu's, and there's all kinds of different stunts people were doing, and one guy drank a big bottle of jalapeno pepper juice or something, and then there was a trip to the Bahamas that you're giving away.
Honey, what's the point of this contest, this call?
Okay, well, my point was really that I just like to listen to you guys.
Oh, and we thank you for that. All right, you remember the show at Lulu's?
Yeah, I remember the show at Lulu's, and my friend and I did this big striptease to win the trip to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Were you both women?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, listen, the only reason I even entertain this call is that it says, on the screen, it says, Karen from Greenville, she has big jugs.
Well, that's the guy that answered the phone asked me that, and so I do. So I
wait. He answered the phone and asked you if you had big jugs.
That's the first thing Mike says to everybody that calls the show. You know, big goofy Mike. Our
men and
there.
Women.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Do you have big jugs?
Well, I said that. I said that really. I just wanted to call and tell you guys I love you a lot, and
I love
listening to you. I guess that wasn't exciting enough. I had to come up with something else.
Okay.
And so he said you have big jugs, and I said.
Nice to see Mike is coaching our callers now.
But yeah, just let them say what they want to say, man.
Tell them you have big jugs.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Dennis, what would your porn name be?
Kanna and Ethan Allen.
What was the first name?
Kanna.
Spell it.
C-A-N-N-A.
Kanna.
Yeah.
Kanna.
Dennis Shepard.
Ethan Allen. And Dennis, a lot of people don't realize that for his first few years, Dennis lived in a furniture store.
Actually, no. I knew Ethan Allen Avenue in Tacoma Park.
So your important name would be Kanna. Actually, I guess it would be Kanna Allen.
If you want, yeah.
Kanna E. Allen.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kanna Ethan Allen.
Kanna Ethan Allen.
Right.
You know, kind of a lame porn name there, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, y'all have a good weekend.
Okay, have a pleasant weekend.
Bye.
Yes, Dennis.
I love you.
I love you, too, man.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Goodbye.
Dennis, you forgot to tell us you have big jugs or not. We know Dennis has big jugs.
Huge.
Gigantic. Last call, big milkshake machines. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike show. You're the last caller.
Hey, how you doing? Is this Don?
And Mike,
how you guys doing? Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Just to let you know, my porn name would be Baby Ramona. And I just happen to be from Sacramento and San Francisco today, so I guess that sounds kind of fitting.
Beautiful. You have big jugs?
Nah, I'm working on it.
Though. Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a good one.
That's the good answer if you don't have big jugs. You say you're working on it.
Yeah,
you got to try.
Very good. Always growing. Thank you, my friend.
Out of respect.
Okay, but you know that Mike's name is Mike.
It's the Don Mike,
sir. Is it correct, sir?
Yes. You said Mr. O'Meara.
And it's Don Geronimo. Is that correct, sir?
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
No.
Okay.
I'm just clarifying it.
No, you're not. He's mixed up, Mike.
Okay, I was confused a minute.
All right, very good.
All mixed up.
Am I forgiven?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You do know of a gentleman called Jerry Falwell, the biggest butthole in the world, right?
Yes, right.
Doesn't he not live in Virginia?
Yes, yes. So he's and not a fan of this show.
Is he not one of these crusaders for... And I do know for a fact, sir, that he has a tremendous dislike for you people.
This is Bill Murray calling.
You're Heidi.
I'm calling from Vegas.
I see you tramp.
You're wearing green so you can hide. You're a tramp.
When you said
I'm calling from Vegas.
Okay, when you said that Jerry Falwell doesn't like us people, what people are you referring to?
Well, what I mean is, he doesn't like anybody that's free and liberated and open. You know, he's a very, very tight Christian.
Yes.
You know, his butt is squeaks when he walks.
Yes. So what can we do for you, sir? What's the
point? So what I was saying is that everybody's talking about the ABC board in Virginia, and I'm wondering if anybody considered the fact that since Mr. Farrell has such a burn, that he could not be very influential with ABC, because he does control a lot over there in that little Virginia.
Do your friends at Happy Hour listen to you when you're doing this?
Pardon me?
And do they nod and say, yeah, I understand, because we don't understand.
I don't,
you don't understand? Okay, let me...
Jerry Falwell, hold on.
Christian organization.
Hold on. I live in Virginia. Jerry Falwell doesn't run dick in the state of Virginia.
No, he's a televangelist. He's got his little groups, but that's where it ends. We're talking about...
He's nothing.
He seems to claim that he has quite a bit of influence.
Okay, but I'm talking he has no influence. People know that Jerry Falwell is a jackass.
Oh, I know that.
And you've got your thing about Jerry Falwell, and it's not really directly related.
Anybody that tries to interfere with freedom of speech and freedom of expression, that's what I have.
Okay, right on, sir. I'll meet you at the Revolution. Okay? I'll see you there.
No, guys, I live in Vegas. It's a lot freer here.
The fourth time he's
okay. Okay. That's all I'm telling you.
Right. It's a very free society. You're very lucky to live in Las Vegas, sir.
And I was very fortunate about the fact to be able to speak with you guys.
And you believe in freedom of speech.
Absolutely,
which
sir.
Is terrific, even if that freedom of speech allows you to say something that's totally confusing.
And when this man hangs up the phone,
confusing.
He legally can go buy himself a prostitute.
Hear, hear.
That's fantastic, mm-hmm. sir. Fantastic. What time will you be buying your prostitute this evening?
Well, I don't know. In Pahrump, it's legal, so if I drive out to Pahrump, I'd be able to do that.
Yes.
Yes.
So what time will you be buying your lady of the evening?
I'm married, sir.
And did you say that's Pahrump, Nevada?
And I'm also a physician.
And did you say that's Pahrump, Nevada?
Pahrump.
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 What is the going rate for a half hour with a lady of
$25 per rump?
Oh, no. Those houses over there, they charge, I guess, $200 for the hour.
Shocker that you know that,
yeah,
Mr.
You
married
that,
physician.
You knew that immediately off the top of your head.
Well, no, because they advertise it out here.
Right.
Hmm.
It's in large advertisements. You'll see it all over.
Advertisement, Mrs. Gray.
You're hiding, you tramp. Well, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're behind us on this free speech thing.
I really am, sir. Really, believe me.
Jerry Falwell is just a total ass, and he has no say as to what goes on in the state of Virginia.
Well, see, when he comes here to Las Vegas for his seminars, whatever they are,
right.
He seems to portray the fact
Jerry Falwell,
that he has a great deal of control in Virginia.
He has no control. Jerry Falwell is a buffoon. Do you hear me? He's a laughing stock.
Absolutely.
Right?
We've got real people of positions of real power in this state that we need to think about.
He is a jackass of the highest regard.
Mm-hmm. Would a petition be maybe a beneficial in trying to change this law in regards to ABC? Because they do have a lot of control.
Would that be a petition or a partition?
Petition. P-T.
See, I know what you're saying was petition, but the way you speak, it came out as petition.
Well, I apologize very much. I'm from Italy originally.
Ah. Oh, you're from Italy.
Oh, you're from Italy.
You're an Italian.
I was born in Palermo in Sicily.
Oh, Palermo. Hey, are you mobbed up? That's how you can help us if you're mobbed up.
Don?
Yes.
I'm a doctor here. I've been here for 28 years.
Well, then.
30 years here in Vegas.
Just answer the question. Are you mobbed up?
And I'm retired.
Are you mobbed up?
I'm retired, Rob.
Did you ever give John Gotti a prostate test? Did you? Did you ever put your finger in Sammy the Bull? Did you?
No, but I did remove a few lead splinters.
Oh, did you really?
Absolutely.
Oh, and how many would you figure in your illustrious career?
In my career? Oh, I'd say perhaps maybe a couple of hundred or more.
Wow. So you are mobbed up. Fantastic. Now we have finally found the meeting of the mind.
Are you the kind of guy that late at night they can call you and come out there and say, hey, you know, Joe Pesci here's got a stomach, he's gut shot.
No, not any longer, sir. I don't do those things.
But in the past.
I'm a retired gentleman.
Like maybe like 30 years ago, probably statute of limitations has run out.
Possibly
like
could
that.
Have happened, yes.
Could have happened.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
It's a possibility.
Pretty cool.
You know what I say? If you guys have seen the movie Casino?
Of course, many times.
I tell you that I lived it.
Really?
Did you give you an entertaining idea?
See, now we want to hear what you have to say.
Now it's all getting better now.
Who cares about all your Jerry Falwell crap?
I was born in Palermo, Sicily, by the way, guys.
Palermo. I mean, right there. I mean,
right. Actually, in Santabella. That's a small community. Outside.
Are you 100% Sicilian?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my. That's it. He could be a made guy.
If somebody says to me, I'm Italian, I go, no, I'm Sicilian.
There you go. That's
right.
The way the Sicilians feel.
Are you a friend of ours?
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow.
A complete supporter.
No, he knows. He knows it.
Did he know?
Yes.
Are you sure he knows?
I believe he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, did you see Donnie Brasco?
I've seen the movie, yeah.
So you know what I mean when I say you're a friend of
mine. Of course, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm well aware. I might say this way, Don, you might enjoy this. About 3 weeks ago, there was a lottery drawing at St. Vitus Church, and the gentleman that won the money asked that his name not be announced because he was one of the Murder Incorporated that was still around.
Oh, yeah.
time.
See, now you're scoring some points on this
boy,
show.
Boy, that's way back when.
Here I was ready to hang up on you, just another feeble old man when you were going up on your Jerry Falwell thing.
Boy, back in the murdering. And do you know this guy that won the lottery?
Yeah,
thing
I do. In fact, what he did, he gave the money back and put another $1,000 to it.
Oh, well, you call anytime you want to talk about how you're all mobbed up, okay?
I would say these guys, that, you know, we're not, you know, we're still here. We're just a church praying that maybe if we did anything wrong, maybe we'll get to heaven if we go to St. Church.
Okay. All right, this guy's really coming out of the show.
Oh,
that
yes, sir. I love it.
All right, thank you, doctor.
But I can't have him living too much about me because I don't want to walk into disease early than he did anyway.
Okay,
right.
Okay, thank
thanks.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you
a lot.
Bye-bye. I liked it all the way up
until the... Governor Gilmore is not available to the phone this week, and there's no one in his office that'll come on the air.
Mm. All right, well, thank you for trying, though, Rob.
You know what I say to that?
What's that?
You know,
hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. You're doing great.
This is Michelle in Las Vegas.
Yes, hello, Michelle.
Hey, just wanted to bring a good point up. Pahrump, Nevada. I'm from Northern California, Sacramento.
How much Pahrump?
Pahrump is like Rio Linda, just on the suburb of Sacramento. It's not all that. He's talking a big thing. It's not all that. It's just a little town.
And are there whorehouses there?
They are, but they don't advertise outside their building. There's a couple that say they're massage
parlors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So they don't have. I haven't seen any advertising for it. And I have a friend that lives in Pahrump, but I've been up there.
Is it a girlfriend that lives in Pahrump?
No, it's a male friend.
Really? Is he a pimp?
No, he's not a pimp.
Is he a John?
No, he's from Northern California. His mom lives down there.
There are Johns in Northern California.
I know they are, but they're not as prominent as they are in Las Vegas.
If you were the type of individual that would like to frequent a bordello, would Pahrump be a good town to live in?
No.
It wouldn't.
Why is that?
Because it's like, I mean, you guys have been up to Sacramento. Have you been by Rio Linda?
We're talking, Mike and I have been to some of the finest whorehouses in Sacramento.
All over the world, Don. Not just Sacramento, all over the world.
All over the world. London.
Yes, London.
And there was London.
Uh-huh.
And there was London. We have been to some of the finest whorehouses in the world, and we have found no finer whorehouses than we found in beautiful Sacramento, California.
Sacramento is my hometown. I love that place.
Right.
You talking about Rio Linda?
Rio Linda. So, you know, what do you call six women from Rio Linda lined up in a row?
What?
A full set of teeth.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I got a little shout-out for all the whores in Sacramento.
And the whores in Pahrump.
We got much love going out for you today.
Pahrump, pum, pum.
Much love. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, that chick doesn't know what she's talking about. Pahrump is fabulous.
Now, why is Pahrump so fabulous? And I'm looking forward to hear about this.
Let me tell you, I drive a cab on the weekends out here.
Uh-huh. You're calling from Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a couple Ruskies in my cab. Last Friday.
Ruskies, Russian guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Picked them up at a strip joint here. They, do you want to take me to get the prostitutes? So I say, yeah, okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. Stop off at the truck stop on the way. It's like 40 minutes out. Buy a bottle of vodka.
Of course.
Get a good case of whiskey, you know, going on there.
Okay. Tell us about the pahrump.
Well, it's a $50 minimum usually. Now, just... So you know, the cab drivers get 10% of whatever they spend.
Now, is this? Are there lots of places in Pahrump or just a couple?
There's three or four.
Four good ones?
So you get what? You get $5 on every head, if you'll pardon the pun, of every guy that comes in here?
Well, no. If they spend $400, I get 40.
All right, but if a guy goes in just for the minimum, you get $5.
Well, those girls are pros, dude. There's, you know, the minimum is usually, you know, $300 or $400. If they go in, you get a bath for $50.
You get a bath. How wacky is that?
Hey, Dennis would like that, right?
You go to a whorehouse and you say, hey, how much for a bath?
So anyhow,
God.
Is that a bath where, like, the hooker gets in the bath with you?
Yeah, they wash you down, but they don't get naked.
Right.
Oh, my.
Really?
These Russian guys spent like $3,800, so it was a nice take. Plus, it was a $200 cab ride.
So you sit out there and wait for these guys to get done?
Oh yeah.
I mean, these guys.
Well, they got a cabbie lounge where they got a soda pop machine and cable TV.
So if you're so inclined to go into the cabbie lounge when these guys are doing their business, can you have a little fun, too, while you're waiting in the cabbie lounge?
I could, but, you know, I'm making my money. I'm not spending it.
Okay. So these Russian dudes dropped $4,000 in one night?
They were conventioners. It was all, what do you call it, business write-off, I suppose. I don't know. But anyhow, they got back late the next day, and we were really upset.
And you're saying that Pahrumpump is a good place to go?
It's
You said they were upset? Why were they upset? Yeah.
Well, because they were late for their convention.
Oh, late to the convention. Okay, I got you. All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting.
Educational.
I seem to remember meeting a cab driver in Vegas who was funny. In fact, maybe one more than one, where I think Vegas, if I'm not mistaken, is a good town for cab drivers. You get a lot of guys that are... Like, we'll talk to you, and they're actually from this country, and they have a real...
Americans?
In fact, there was one, a buddy of mine, we're going to see, I'm going to sound like so gay, we're going to see Wayne Newton. Yeah, but we're going to see him as a joke, right?
I know, this is everybody. This is when Mike was at his very depressed stage, between
right.
marriages.
Yes.
When one holiday, Mike says to me, because of me, says, hey, you know what I'm doing? What do you think of this? Christmas in Vegas. Yeah. And I said, oh, I don't know, buddy. He says, I'm going to Vegas for Christmas. I'm going to see Wayne Newton.
He's
going to come out in his astronaut suit.
Space suit, you remember.
Yeah. Of course I do.
He comes out in his space suit, and this cab driver didn't like Wayne Newton, and I never laughed so hard. This guy was just, first of all, it was a lot of language. You know, it was the F word. Oh, you're going to see that F word squeak. Oh, that's the first thing. Where were you going, guys? We're going to see Wayne Newton. Oh, you're paying money to see that effer squeak? And he goes on and on about this, and I'll never forget. He was like, what a memorable cab ride. And then we got to the Wayne Newton show, and we went down to the front row. In fact, we tipped the maitre d'. We tipped him. And we were going to go down, and we were going to laugh at him in the front row. And we sit next to a family from Texas, a mother, a father, and like a 25-year-old daughter who was not unattractive. And they sit down, and we're sitting there, hey, well, we got mom and dad here, but this is a very nice-looking lady. And that's when they said, we've seen Wayne Newton 16 times in concert, and we are really, really big fans. And then the mother, who was literally, because they, you know, on those tables, those
they cram you
in. They jam you down, and the mother, who's sitting directly across from me, looks at me and says, you know, it's just so nice that this is good, clean entertainment, and we are going to have a fantastic time. If you've never seen him, you're in for probably, and she's just totally serious, probably the best show of your life. And I looked at my buddy, I'm like, oh, God. Oh, my God.
Michael Mara's Christmas in Vegas.
That was a very dark period in my life.
I know.
What can I say?
I was right before the girl dumped you at the airport. And where?
Not the airport. Dumped me in Bermuda.
He stood on his balcony and watched her plane take off.
Thank you. You guys, I'm glad you have memories. God bless all of you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Those are some of my favorite years, the Michael Barrett trouble years.
I know.
Of course, like, you enjoyed the story about me drowning.
Yes.
And get my foot caught in the bicycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the story about how you're on your balcony at 8 o'clock in the morning having a beer.
Watching your girlfriend take off. Watching the plane take off and then came back and did what I do. First day back, I told you the whole story right here on the air.
Yeah.
That's the kind of professional I am.
Hello.
My tragedy was your amusement.
It was.
Oh,
it still is, Mike.
Yeah. I know it is.
It still gives. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I just talked to the ABC, the people at the ABC board.
Yes.
And they basically, it was really screwed up because, see, what they said was that, like, it was all your fault. They didn't accept any blame for it.
Right. How could it be all our fault?
They were saying, you know, like, oh, well, the lewd conduct that they perform, you know, should not be viewed by people. And I brought up the point that... These people, you know, even the people that complain, they have to choose their...
Let me just interrupt you here, because it's one of the things I do best. Who is the ABC board to decide what's right for everybody?
Yeah, I know.
Since when do they have this sweeping arm of censorship to decide? I guess it's obvious they have the power to do it, but how the hell did they get the power? We should take this power away from them.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's why we need to talk to the governor, and nobody in the governor's office is taking our call.
No.
Yeah, my point was the fact that these people who are complaining, they're over 21, they have the right to complain, but see, the thing is, they don't have the right to take away other people's right to view what they want to view.
I'd also like to say, as far as I know, there's been no complaints about this. It's a show that hasn't happened.
When you spoke to it the other day, I think that their feeling is their right to dictate anything in an establishment that has a liquor license. That's where really, I mean, everybody I've talked to about this, all the bartenders I've talked to about this, hundreds.
You've done lots of extra research on
this. Well, you know, as soon as this was happening, I felt that was my duty to the show to actually speak to bartenders and really speak to bartenders for a long period of time. Not, you know, not one of these 5-minute, you know, how do you feel deals, but maybe spend a good 2 hours and talk to them. It's my opinion that they have really total authority when it comes to any place that has a liquor license. That's the way it works.
Sucks, man. Sucks on ice. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, all right. Hey, can I just say one more thing real quick?
No.
Bastards.
Okay, thank you. Not
that
a friend, man.
I thought he was credible right from the get-go.
We will be back in a moment.
So during the week, like, I can't do anything during the week, so I'm just looking for somebody to go out with on the weekend.
Okay, boy, listen, this poor schmuck falls head over heels for you. He asks you out. You give him this bull story about your friend hurt her hand, and conveniently she has to have surgery on it. 6 days later, exactly on the day that he was going to ask you on the next day, why didn't you just tell him you weren't interested?
Well, because I was going to go with him. I mean, I didn't plan on stop talking to him altogether. I didn't really plan on that happening, but he got really frustrated when I told him that and very upset. And by then, I was also a little irritated with him. Because he called every night. We did talk on the phone.
Poor
sucker. I don't like to talk on the phone.
You don't like to talk on the phone?
As much as Charlie does. Charlie is a... I don't know.
I say based on the last 3 minutes, you like to talk on the phone.
So, you know, don't you think, though, obviously you're not interested, right?
No, and... Like,
wait a minute, wait.
Okay.
Don't answer a question with no. Dennis Murphy does that a lot. You're not interested in Charlie?
No.
She could have answered that with no, though.
Yes, she could have. Yes, right. I'm sorry. I'm defending my friend Charlie Stossel too much here. No, she's making sense, I guess.
I just don't know why you just didn't come out and tell him that you weren't interested, because... Come on, admit it. You did string him on.
No, I don't.
It is fun having a movie boy call you at home every night.
No, we went out 3 times. Okay, that's not a lot. And I could sense that...
It is to Charlie.
It is.
I'd like to weigh in. I think it is for any girl. If a single guy is going out on a third date, that usually means... You know, really, if people don't click, that's it usually on the first date.
Right.
Right? I mean, so you were, after the first date...
That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
After the first date, were you interested?
Yes.
You were.
He's a very nice guy.
After the second date, were you interested?
We had a good time on the second date, but the second date wasn't a real date. It wasn't like you talk and you get to know each other. We went to see a concert. And so, you know, it's just kind of like standing next to each other the whole time. There wasn't a lot of conversation.
What about in the car?
Yeah, the car.
In the car?
Yeah, what about in the car?
We did talk on the way down, on the way back.
I'd like to weigh in also because my single days are still relatively, fresh in my mind. I'd say a concert is a date.
Uh-huh.
It's a good date, actually. Yeah. It's a terrific date. It's better than a schmuck date.
So you went on a second date with him, and then he asked you out again, and you went out a third time with him. When was it that you decided exactly you didn't like him?
Well... First of all, I would like to say I do enjoy his company. Like, I like talking to him.
So you're sending mixed signals all over the place.
When
really
did,
are.
When did you decide that you don't like him? Because it's obvious you don't like him.
When it became too pushy, when it became too insistent, like when he would say, do you want to get together on Saturday? And I would say, that is fine. But then he would say, all right, well, I don't want to wait that long, so let's do something on Wednesday.
Okay, you know what you do, seriously? You know the best way to handle that? You said, let's not move too quickly. I really enjoy your company, but I think we're moving too fast. I'd like to maybe see you, but not, you know, not every other day.
And you're
that's
right.
The truth. Hold on. There's a woman who wants to say something to you. Here is Cher.
Yes.
She's a lady who called in last week to talk to Charlie.
This girl is delusional.
Now, wait a minute. Why are you saying that?
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, I've talked to him for like a week now. And the thing she's saying about him moving fast, I mean, I don't know, like, granted, okay, I'll admit I don't know what their whole situation is, but I find it hard to believe that he would throw the moves on her.
Oh, hold on, let me just explain to everybody. Cher is a lady that called in last week to go out on a date with Charlie when Charlie was bitching about Kelly.
Right. I'd like to also say that, you know something, if a guy's interested, all guys want to move fast.
Hey, and Kelly?
Yeah.
Didn't you lie to Charlie Stossel about where you live?
Thank you. I did.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Charlie. I told you guys because I didn't want it said on the air exactly where I lived.
Oh, no. Honey, that has nothing to do with Charlie Stossel.
But then I admitted to him. I told him, like, what was it, maybe 3 weeks ago, I told him.
Wait, hold on. Charlie would not get on the air and give your address.
No. She's talking about when she went to the beach house
promotion. Yeah, the beach house.
And we never give out anybody's address on the air anyway, and you're talking about something that happened months ago. And when you're dating Charlie Stossel, what does that have to do if you gave your address to someone on our show? Why couldn't you give Charlie Stossel your real address?
Well, I did. Like, and it was very...
Wait a minute. No, you didn't.
Drama queen. I'm sorry.
You just admitted you lied to him about where you live.
I didn't tell him at first that I lived, but then, like, two or three conversations into it, I even called him to tell him.
Hold on, Kelly. I want to ask you a question. You said you didn't tell him, or did he ask and you give him another address, or did you, you know, make up something?
No. As a matter of fact, you can ask him. I'm sure he wouldn't lie. I called him.
Hey, Kelly, are you making this up as you go along? Because it's, like, really funny.
Settle down, Cher.
All right, I don't mind looking at fun.
No, it's hilarious. I mean, I'm just curious if you're making it up as you go along.
Sure. Have you dated Charlie yet?
I have not gone out with him yet. Okay, I've spoke with him for about a week now, and never once did I get the feeling that he's like, you know, come on over, baby, and all this other stuff.
Well, no, I didn't mean to tell you that.
As far as baggage goes, I haven't detected any, and I'd like to think I'm pretty... good at picking up that kind of stuff, but...
I think that he gets attached easily. I'm not saying he's like, hey, baby, come here. But he does get emotionally attached easily, and that is what I meant by, you know, all of a sudden everything was...
Do you think maybe part of you is wishing he'd get attached to you?
You know, I did not call up here to argue with...
Hello?
See?
Who hung up? Kelly?
No, I'm still here. This is Cher.
Oh, okay.
Kelly, are you still there?
I'm sorry. I thought it hung up.
But are Kelly and Cher still on the line?
Yeah, they're both online.
Still here.
Okay.
They're both still online.
Yeah, I didn't call
who was
argue
listening?
With anybody.
Who is listening on someone's line?
What?
We'll never know that.
We'll never know.
All right, what, Kelly? What did you want to say?
I did tell Charlie that I was sorry on Sunday, that I handled the situation inappropriately, and him going on the air did not make me mad on Friday.
Well, why shouldn't? I mean, hello, you made up all this crap as you were going along. Why should you be upset that he, like, ferreted you out? I mean, he did a public service. I mean, think of all the guys out there who, you know, don't have to fall into this with you now.
Okay, thank you, Cher.
Okay, thank you, Kelly.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
My goodness.
Kelly, did you get your say in?
Yes, I did.
Okay, Cher, did you get your say in?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, thank you both.
Hmm.
Hold on, Kelly, hold on. One more person wants to talk to you. Hold on, I have one more person that wants to say hello to you.
Very good.
Hello?
Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, Kelly, is Dennis a friend?
Dennis is a nice guy.
Well, I'm going to ask you out for dinner Saturday. Are you interested?
No, thank you, Dennis.
All right. Goodbye, Dennis.
She handled that very well.
If only you could have been that up front with Charlie Stossel.
Very true.
I know. It's easy to crap on Dennis. Thank you. Goodbye, Dennis. Crap it on you right now.
And goodbye, Kelly.
All right. Well, Buzz.
Yes.
That was an intriguing little bit of soap opera.
It certainly was.
And I can't wait until Stossel calls in, because you know right now,
because
you know he listens to the show every day.
Right.
He's probably just beating his fist against the dashboard.
And, you know, in fairness to Charlie, you and I didn't have all the facts. There was a lot that Charlie was talking about that, you know, we probably didn't remember there. But didn't he get through all that if Kelly was just straight with him and said, look, you're pushing too hard, and I don't think there's a connection here.
I don't get why
you mixed signals.
I don't get why you'd go out with a guy three times if you didn't like it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And then, you know, at a certain point, if it's moving too quickly, you say this is moving too quickly.
Right.
And I'll bet Charlie Stossel enjoyed hearing women argue about him on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, now, Buzz, I'm sorry, we have
That's
to
right.
do a,
Understood.
A commercial. A stop sign. Then we'll be back. Yes. Let me see. I can't get that other thing off my mind now.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. But, you know, at those parties, every now and then somebody slips up. And I guess that's somebody that doesn't realize we know all, we hear all, we hear about it. But as I said, it sounds to me like somebody had one too many glasses of wine.
The guy that works here.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that works in management here.
Mm-hmm, right.
Apparently he doesn't like us very much.
Now, I talk to him all the time, and I'm very disappointed. I'm very hurt if that's the way he really feels.
I never talk to him.
I talk to him when I'm out there putting, and, you know, not a lot, but I talk to him occasionally. And so, you know, I'd be lying if I said I was really bothered by that. I can give a rat's ass what he thinks of me.
I just wish the guy had the balls. If you don't like us, you know.
Say so.
Just come up to us and say so. Jeff?
No.
Hedges?
Jeff Hedges!
Maybe that's why he's so mad, because we say he's a vampire.
You think that's what it is?
I don't know.
I think that's a funny bit. I certainly hope he doesn't take it personally.
Guy told a bunch of people at this party on Friday night that he hates us, called us some very nasty names, and said he would love the opportunity to come in the studio and put us in our place.
Put us in our place.
Wow. Keep in mind, this is a guy that I've said maybe five words to the whole time he's worked there.
Well, obviously, he's formulated an opinion. That's too bad.
How do I get through? Am I not using the right line?
He told, if you were going to say something bad about us, he told the wrong person.
Uh-huh. Right. He got back to us immediately.
Gadget. Excellent.
Nine.
All right.
Four. Seven.
He's left the building.
He'll get it through.
All right. Always a controversy. Always.
It's always an adventure.
It's
there's never a...
Passing to be JFK.
It's not a week. It's a day. There's never a day to come by.
It's not in mind. Can you put us through to Jeff Hedges, please?
Yeah, 1 second.
Thank you, Colette.
There you go.
That scary old man.
Hi, this is Jeff Hedges. It is Monday, June 7th. I will be in and out of the office today, but checking voicemail regularly. Please leave a message and a telephone number. I will return your call as soon as possible. You may reach an operator at any time during regular business hours by dialing 0. Recording.
Hey, Jeff. It's one of the fat F's. I'm here with the other fat F.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
As you referred to us at the party on Friday night.
We had no idea that your feelings were that strong.
We understand that you hate us. You have no problem making millions of dollars a year off our show, yet you hate us. And we also hear that you'd like to come in here and put us in our place.
So we just wanted to call and say hi.
Yeah. Come on in anytime, you creepy old man.
Please. Goodbye.
You know, I don't like you, Jeff, but you know the difference is I've never made a secret of it. Okay?
You two-faced
vampire.
I guess he's not making a secret of it anymore himself.
Right.
It's out for the whole world to know.
Oh, he's a big man at the party when we're not at the party on Friday nights.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we know all. We see all.
Right.
There we go, Will.
That's a pisser. That guy works here. That guy's out on the street representing our show, selling commercials for our show. And I got another issue, too.
Uh-oh. What else is going on?
With Ken, but his phone number is...
What did he do now?
Well, now he says that Stacy, from the sales staff, can't judge the penis contest.
What? Why?
I don't know.
She was like the one we settled on to do that.
Right. Remember, we're going to have the contest to give away the surgery and stuff?
Well, maybe Ken can judge it.
Oh. Nope, his line's busy.
Always controversy around here.
Hello, Gadget. Hello. Stacy is not able to judge that contest because of that memo that came out last week.
Well, can't we make an exception to that?
I thought Ken said, Ken told us.
He also mentioned some form of harassment.
Oh.
Harassment from who?
I don't know.
Well, no, don't just...
Don't say a word like harassment
that's
and then say,
said.
I don't know.
He
what
said,
do you mean you don't know?
Anything like harassment. We didn't get into a long discussion about it.
You don't want anything like harassment for what?
Relationship, it dies.
What?
She's judging a penis.
Oh,
content.
Okay. All right. Sexual harassment.
Right. Right.
Okay. So by having her look at the guys, she could come back and say that's sexual harassment.
Even though she wants to do it.
Okay, I understand.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Would you go upstairs and see what he's doing?
Sure.
See if he wants to talk to us.
And ask if he wants to judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Jeff?
Yeah. See if Hedges is up there.
All right.
Okay. Tell him that he can come in here anytime he wants to try to put us in our place.
Oh,
anytime. God. Anytime he wants to.
Always an adventure.
What's his title here? What's he do here anyway? He's some sales guy, right?
I don't know. He's a creature of the night.
I guess so.
Winged right. Creature of the night.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let it go for now. Just these controversies, they come to me during the commercial set.
Well, I know. Right. I know, and you hate them.
Hold on. Hello?
Jeff is in his office if you want to call him back.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get this straightened up. Vice President of Sales here at WJFK. Once and for all. Never heard an unkind word from the guy in the hallway.
No.
Says hello. Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't hate you, Buzz.
Infinity Broadcasting to WJFK.
Hey, it's Donna Mike. Can we talk to Jeff again?
Yeah, 1 second.
Always an adventure. at WJFK in Washington.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there's no answer.
There's a problem with a coworker.
Hi, this is Jeff Hedges.
All right,
this is Monday, June 7th.
Well, Just want to solve these problems with coworkers.
That is the goal.
Sure.
That is the goal. So we have an exquisite working relationship with everybody here.
Right.
You know, but seriously, that doesn't help our cause all that much. You know, because we're always having feuds with management. You know, so it's always good to make sure we know where we stand with people. I think that's important.
Jesus Christ. Oh, and Ken's still on the telephone, so.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll have to come back to both of those issues at another point in today's show.
That is correct.
Okay. Right.
Lots going on here. You know, hey, it's Monday. Who knew? You know, you get everybody together
at a party.
What would this place be without a little infighting?
Absolutely.
I think it's you know, it's the electricity that makes us all very successful.
All right. Hold on. Homo Joe's on the phone.
All right.
Yes. Hello, Homo Joe.
Hey, Don, Mike, and Buzz, and everybody. I just thought maybe you want some cooking for free from Homo Joe's Gourmet Kitchen, so you won't have to get in a fish tail.
Joe, you use the S word.
I'm sorry.
You can't drop the S bomb, Joe.
I forgot.
Joe.
I'm sorry. Shoot me.
You're still such a rookie, Joe. You are such a rookie.
I know. I'm sorry.
Joe said, perhaps I'd like a recipe so I wouldn't be in Frida's S house. He said the S word.
Well, I could make it for you and bring it down and just take it home for it. All she has to do is put it in the oven.
No. Homo, I appreciate it. And you've now turned in like the gay Julia Child of the show. But no.
This is Homo Joe's never-ending quest to become Martha Stewart.
There you go.
That's what he wants.
No thanks, Homo.
Okay.
Hey,
have a great day.
Let me ask you, though, from the homosexual point of view.
Yes, sir.
Ricky Martin.
Oh, he's a dream.
Latino songster.
Yeah, I thought he was gay when I first saw him.
Oh, you thought?
Yeah. Just with his body movements and his hand actions.
Huh. I got a whole big thing on him in the Globe here that says he is gay.
Well, I believe he is.
He wouldn't be the first superstar who was hot with the ladies who turned out to be gay.
That's true.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Look at George Michael. I mean, look at him. Mm-hmm. He ended up in the bathroom.
Thank you, homosexual Joe.
All right, you have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Picture homo Joe just naked with an apron on. You know, all these pots boiling on the stove.
No. Wrong one. Wrong George Michael.
No, that's the older George Michael.
Right. George Gimbels.
Who's never called us ever since we had that whole age show.
Ever since we wondered how old he is.
We wanted to know how old he was, but he never called us.
He's probably going to be going to the next party with Jeff Hedges. Sit around and talk how much he hates us.
Hey, where are those fat F's?
I don't know, but I sure do hate them.
I hate them. I don't care what they... I'll say what I think. They're not here. Come on.
They're fat abs. Oh, that's so funny.
God's sakes, if they think they're so special.
That's so funny.
That guy, please.
Nice suspenders, Jeff. That's a pretty happening look, man. Nice suspenders, Mr. Undertaker. Walking around this place look like you're freaking embalmed.
Oh, God.
Why don't you drop a few more times that you're friends with Robert Duvall? Because that really impresses everybody around here.
Please.
Oh, my God. Charlie, he's not answering his telephone.
He's on his phone.
Oh, he's on his phone. Why don't you stick your head back there and tell him we'd like to chat with him?
Because you don't like to wait. Why wait? You know, get this thing done, out in the air, clear that air.
You know what's going to happen is we'll move on to something else, and I'll totally forget about that.
Yeah, and I know what you don't want to have happen. You don't want to be cornered in the hallway and have it there. You want it
right here.
Right now.
Right here on this stage.
In this forum.
In front of these fine people. Why, Geraldo? Major Bill Smith.
Hey, did you see Geraldo today? Geraldo with some real battlefield footage.
On the Today Show, I saw it.
I love Geraldo.
He was over in Kosovo.
Kosovo. I love Geraldo. I don't care who calls me gay. I love Geraldo.
You're gay.
I love Geraldo. I do. Geraldo is just, and I don't think Katie Couric likes Geraldo one little bit.
Of course not. He's not a real news guy, man.
Doesn't like him one little bit.
Hello, Charlie.
What I got from him was he's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Yeah, even though he told me any time, any day, I'll come in, he's on the phone.
All right. Well, we'll find out later.
Okay. All right.
We will move on.
But he said that specifically to you.
Not once.
Well, walk us through it.
What's the guy's problem with
us? I'd like all the details.
I don't
remember how it started.
I'd like all the details.
And all. I was standing there, and this was awkward for me, talking to Ken.
Right.
And Jeff came up and started talking about the two of you.
And how, I'm just curious, in piecing together just how perhaps it was initiated.
I don't remember how it was initiated.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ken, Alan, and myself, and then Hedges came up,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about Hedges stuff, and then he started talking about the show.
Yeah, what did he say?
He was saying, you know, the show's doing great, they're number one,
okay,
but
so
I
he
think
said
I can knock them down kind of things.
Okay, so he said good things about the show, and then something along the lines of knocking us down
mm-hmm.
to size, that
exactly.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the big men knocking them down to size.
Right, the two fat Fs.
Right.
He said that a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And then he started telling me more things. I said, you know, Jeff, I really don't want to hear any of this because it's going to get back to them because I'll tell them and it'll end up on the air. And he said, where's your integrity? I said, it's not with you. It's
where's,
with the show.
Where's your integrity?
I forgot you. And Alan was standing there. Kind of, I got the impression trying to tell Jeff to be quiet. Let's just forget this.
Uh-huh.
Forget this and move on.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept going.
What's his issue with us? Did he mention what the issue is?
He never mentioned. Not once did he say where this came from.
Charlie, there were adult beverages served at the party. Could this have influenced, do you think, the situation in any way?
I hope he has an excuse.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, now I'm dying just to play a commercial and go back to the freak's office and say, listen, hey, it's me, Mr. Fat F. It's me, Mr. F squared.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Think about that, huh?
You know, it's great. There's nothing like those office get-togethers, I'll tell you that. There's always something. When you've got this many people...
How many times I mentioned they're really behind you around here? They're really behind you.
You know? You have this many people doing these kind of jobs under this kind of pressure, and you get them all in one room, and all of a sudden...
Pressure! You know that guy's the person that guy takes the ratings book out, and he goes, well, here's the deal. They're number one in the ratings. You got to give us a really high price for each commercial.
Right. Yep.
That's the pressure.
That's the pressure. Oh, is this a different number?
Yeah, try that as a direct dial.
1-800 or?
No, 703. That number.
Okay, all right. Head to a front line. Everybody right here said that deal.
That's Brad.
Oh, that's Brad. Brad's phone number.
Well, then Boyle gave me the wrong number.
All right, bye, Brad.
Who's
bye.
This?
This is Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Brad. Maybe we should have gone to that party.
Now I'm thinking we should have gone to that
You know, I'm thinking now we maybe should have. Maybe that's where a little of the heat's coming from.
Hmm.
No, I don't think so.
I talked to Shrinsky myself
on Friday night.
Okay, great.
He was cool.
He was fine.
Ken Stevens, 445.
Ah. Now at least we'll find out about Stacey.
And maybe we'll ask about the other.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Ken. Don and Mike here.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Your afternoon good guys.
Hi, most popular guys in your building.
My favorite afternoon show.
All right, listen, a couple of issues if you have just a moment.
Certainly.
First issue, I understand that you vetoed Stacey Bridges judging the contest to give away the plastic surgery.
Yes, I did.
And Charlie said something about that could be construed as harassment. Is that true?
Yeah.
And what if she...
How so?
What if she signed something that said that, you know...
I mean, she volunteered to do it.
Yeah, she kind of wanted to do it.
That's one of those gray areas that, you know, you volunteer today, but 6 months from now, you kind of forget you volunteered and you think, I probably shouldn't have done that, and I really blame the company for getting me involved.
No chance that one of the evil lawyers for the company could whip up a little something for her to put her John Hancock on or Mrs. Hancock and, you know, judge the contest?
She's cool.
I mean, you know, one of those little disclaimers like, I will never sue you things.
I don't even think we need that with Stacey. It's her account, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, but, you know, there are probably rules and regulations about how far you're encouraged to go in pursuit of business.
Rules and regulations. All right, next item of business. How come Jeff Hedges hates us so much, man?
Jeff Hedges?
Yeah, no, I understand you were at this party on Friday night when Jeff was shooting off his mouth saying that me and Mike are a couple of fat Fs and that he'd like to come in here to put us in our place.
No, I didn't hear that. When I left, there were people left at the party after I was not the last to leave for a change.
Okay. Has he ever mentioned anything to you about this deep-seated hatred he has for us?
Never. Never.
Never said anything that might you might interpret as, some sort of hatred for us?
No. Was this reported to you from a reliable source?
Well, from Inspector Gadget Broyhill. He said it to Broyhill.
Really?
Yes, with Alan standing right there. Now, see...
Was there a context, or did it just come out of the blue?
Broyhill said it came up that he was saying, hey, yeah, their show's number one, their show's doing great, but they're big fat F's, and I'd like to put them in their place. Something like that. Like, you know, cut us down to size or something like that.
No, in fact, I don't think he's ever been anything, but you've never done anything to him, have you?
We talk about him being Dracula and all that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Jeffrey Hedges, the winged bat creature.
He only cares about things that cost him money. You haven't done anything like that, right?
Just seemed pretty cowardly to me. You know, the guy, I walk by him in the hall 20 times a day, and he just shrugs at me.
Yeah, I think there's more to that story. I can't imagine him doing that.
Well, I heard you were standing right there when he said it.
No, I swear to God.
Okay, all right. So that would be, you don't know about Hedges.
Hey,
about...
anytime anybody calls you two guys fat F's, you know, I come to your defense.
Thank you, Ken.
Very nice.
And we appreciate it. We know that happens a lot. So that would be, you don't know about Hedges, and that's a no on Stacy judging the contest.
See, right.
And, well, one final question. Since Stacy can't judge it, would you have any interest in judging the contest?
Not a little bit.
Pretty sure you'll never sue us. Although you've come close a couple of times.
Yeah, really.
I've thought about it.
As a matter of fact, you've said some pretty awful things to us. You've called us effers before.
But that's always been, a real conflict.
That?
That's been a real, head-to-head conflict. This one kind of comes out of left field.
Don't you remember that time that you told Brian we could both go F ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Moment, yeah. That's right. Different. That's a verb, not a noun.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ken.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's a verb. Not enough. Oh, man. Fearless leader on his game a little bit today.
All right.
Probably standing there, though, the whole time that went on.
I got one more number for Dracula.
And I believe, would you agree that we will, the only, excuse we'll accept
is... Broadcasting WGFK.
Forget it.
What? I'm sorry.
I was drunk and shouldn't have said that excuse.
I don't know.
If there's a lengthy explanation, we might get even more angry,
Yeah,
let me tell you why. I don't even want to be in the building.
Again. I do. I do. I'm ready for it. Absolutely ready for it. All right. Well, great place to work.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Three cheers for CBS.
Hallelujah.
Hey. Hooray. Okay. Well, now I'm in the mood to take a commercial set and go walk back by Jeff Hedges' office.
Give him my best, won't you?
I shall.
Absolutely.
I shall. And then I guess... we'll be right back, everybody.
And maybe we'll have an update.
Yes. Oh, yeah. One way or the other.
That's good.
I promise you an update when we come right back.
Every night. And, I've never said two words to you. Came as a surprise to me. The guy wouldn't even look me in the eye. The guy just looking down at his papers the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm having this conversation with him, he's continuing to have these people on the speakerphones that are like going... yeah, I'd like to buy 300 points a week. And the other guy is saying,
so what's in the middle of it, it's going on. I don't know.
Right.
That's interesting.
Right. He wouldn't put them on hold.
No.
Wouldn't talk to me. So then finally he looks at me and he says, how about we discuss this another time? Like after your show. I said, after the show, I go home.
Mm-hmm.
How about tomorrow? I said, I get here about 2:00. He said, that's fine. Tomorrow. And I looked at him again and I said, just to get into this a little bit, I said, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. I don't even ever talk to you. And he just looked at me. I don't know. Maybe the guy was bombed at the party on Friday night. That's all I can find.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting the way that shook out. Very.
I don't know. So, I wish I had something for you. I don't have anything. I went back there and tried to confront the guy, and he wouldn't talk to me about it.
And he was on the speakerphone.
Yes.
So whoever was doing the business was hearing a little bit of that, too, then, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right.
It's always a mystery around.
It's weird, man.
It's always, there's nothing, a day doesn't go by here where there isn't something interesting happening. Generated a lot of excitement throughout the building.
Of course.
You that.
Absolutely.
Because, that's the way people are.
Right. Everybody likes a little, soap opera going on.
Sure.
But I guess the difference is that, if somebody says something about us... we just go back and ask him about it.
Absolutely.
Say, hey, bud, what's your problem? What's your problem? Okay, well, that's the update. I'm just going to drop it now because I don't have anything else to tell you.
Well, maybe we'll see him fly by the window or something.
Maybe so when he goes to his coffin.
I was picturing you walk in the office and you don't see him. You look over behind the desk and then you look up on the ceiling and there he is. Hello.
You would think that the guy would want to get it taken care of.
I would think so, too. I would think so, too. And
Guy goes out of his way to say this stuff about us, the people that we work with at a party.
Right.
And we talk about it on the radio. And I go back there and the guy's like, I don't have time. But, that ultra too calm
right.
demeanor.
Right.
I don't have time for this right now.
That's a good way to dispel things. That's certainly a good way to make more than it needs to be, to make it more than it needs to
be. I will lose no sleep thinking that Jeff Hedges hates me.
I've got no problem
with that.
I file it fairly deep into the I don't care file. That is the truth. I enjoy the controversy. And from a business standpoint, you know, because he works around, he's a manager, right?
Since you hate us, though, Jeff.
That's where I get, that's the level I care on. On the other level, I don't...
How about you give back all the money that you make off our show, then? since you have this deep-seated hatred of us, you will accept the fact that we're very successful.
Yeah.
But you hate us, so that must be a conflict for you 24 hours a day, having to go out and sell a product that's very successful, yet for some reason that we don't know,
you know, saying
you hate us.
Closing the deal for the fat ass. okay, well, you know, wait, what does he come in and say to Alan, I got another 10 grand for the fat F show?
You know, maybe he does. You know, in some ways we're insulated. I mean, we do know a lot of stuff that goes on around here, but in some ways, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that I'm positive that when they get behind closed doors, they say, you know, never tell Don and Mike about this.
If we heard everything that was said by everybody throughout all the years we have done this show, you know, we'd be walking around with a couple of twitches.
All right. Radio, great business. Not too backbiting, is it?
No.
Right?
Good to have the people in your own building on your side, though. Good to, you know, whether they want to be or not, good to have them toe that line. I think that's the company line we should have around here.
I got a very interesting vibe when I walked down the hall.
You said it was kind of a I want to fight vibe, right?
To go to the office. Well, it was, first, the vibe I got from all the other salespeople, they were like looking at me and smiling and everything. Right. Give me thumbs up. Like, right. Yeah, you know, go get him.
Right.
And I went in with this guy, and I got the feeling this guy was like, you know, a little ukuke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Arine. Unable stay.
Like, maybe, take a, Ord say and... Abstay,
yeah, I thought so. I don't want to say anything, but I think all the salespeople tomorrow should wear a clove of garlic around their neck. Just to be sure when they come into work tomorrow.
Always an adventure at the ranch.
He's a scary guy. You know, he's got big swords and stuff on his wall.
And he's also you know, I've had enough conversations with him to know that he is an accomplished marksman. That's what he does. That's what he does.
That's great. That's all I wanted to hear. Well, if I'm found shot to death tonight, I want the authorities to know the first place to go look. Right. Mr. Jeff Hedges.
I believe like a state champion at that level.
Really?
At that level. You know, one of those guys. So
must be trying to cover up some other inadequacy in his life. The guy that has to do that, I would think. Has to be a massive marksman.
So we go out to the car.
Duck! Listen, when I'm dead, if it's silver bullets, you're going to know it was Hedges, man.
No, I will.
Absolutely, you'll know it.
I will.
All right.
I will.
Well, that's the update.
You know, and this is cruel, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I feel it necessary to be honest about this.
Yes.
The reason I didn't want to go, I know you wanted to go back there by yourself, and I didn't want to go back there for one reason.
Why?
Because I talked to him in the hallway, and if all this plays out where that doesn't happen anymore, that's not going to break my heart all day. Because I just feel, I've never felt real comfortable.
Right.
Even with small talk in the hallway. I just don't. So, I mean, if it plays out that, you know, he goes his way, we go our way, that's fine. That's fine.
And the only thing that's
maybe what'll come out of this is you'll establish a relationship with the guy and talking to each other.
I don't think so.
I don't. Friends for life.
Not a chance.
There's a vibe, you know, there's a vibe when he's in the hallway that I just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we joke about it a little bit.
He's a scary guy.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, if he was over there doing his thing, you know, for our whole run here,
right.
And, you know, never our paths met, it's not that I really like it. It's not that I really wouldn't like it. Just be fine with me.
Yeah. Just don't get loaded at a party and run your mouth, though.
That's true.
You know,
not around people we work with.
Yeah. You know, the guy's supposed
probably
to be...
Probably not a good idea for anybody to do that.
Guy's supposed to be in management here.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just not good business.
That's an example. Really, you know, a very good friend of mine used to do that a lot at functions, and the best policy for that is to immediately seek out the individual who's offended and apologize. That's usually the best way to rectify that situation. That's a friend of mine that used to do that. Good advice.
Usually the best. Was he a good friend of yours, Mike?
Very. Immensely close.
He was a great guy, wasn't he?
He was a fantastic guy, and he always felt... you might have met him a couple of times.
All right.
He always felt so bad.
I think I know him very well.
He always felt so bad about that.
That he would immediately seek out the people that he had insulted.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was Irish, too.
Really?
Yeah. And he'd always, I mean, that's what he'd try to do. It didn't always work, but he'd always
always try.
And the sooner, the better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you mend those fences as soon as possible.
Okay.
His experience.
Okay, well, enough about that.
All right.
Enough about all that.
Very good.
Oh, except I can't stop talking about it.
It's under your skin. It's under your skin.
Yeah, it truly is, man.
It's probably been a while since something like that has happened.
You know, I got no problem if somebody doesn't like us, doesn't like me. If it's known, you know, and there are a few people around here that I know don't dig me, and I don't particularly dig them, but at least with them I have a, you know, an okay working relationship. We say hello in the hall, and they say hello back, and that's pretty much all that happens.
Most important thing here is the working relationship. You know, who knows?
Well, I've never had a working relationship with a guy, right? Well, they never say anything to the guy.
It's true. Yeah, he's not. I mean, I don't want to offend him. I don't consider him all that relevant for what we do. You know what I mean? I don't consider him. I don't like the fact that he's talking maybe at a party about, hey, those fat F's and that type of thing. But as far as the day-to-day activity, there's several people that we have to have contact with.
I know. He's not one of them. Okay.
Right. What did Rob write?
I'm not going to say it.
What did he write?
I'm not going to say it.
Come on.
It's not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just read it. Don't read it out loud, though. Just read it. Okay. You know, there's three very cruel people in this room, and a lot of times...
That's right. It's easy to put those lines in front of us, right?
A lot of times, the cruelest person in this room is sitting back having his lunch at about 4:30
right.
every day.
That's right.
I'm a sweetheart.
That's funny, though, Rob.
That's right.
Yeah. That's funny.
Run up there with the bullets, but you don't have to pull the trigger, pal.
It's funny, though, what he wrote.
It is.
I gotta admit it, it's funny. It's a good line.
It's
a great line. And truthful.
Yes.
Extremely so.
However, can't do it.
Okay.
No.
Not today. Maybe another day. Thank you, though, Shecky.
All right.
Listen, we have to talk to the doctor.
Yes, we do.
You know, because now look what's happened. Jeff Hedges, see what you made me do? Look at this. It's almost 4:30 now. I had to waste a half hour of this show talking about your cowardly comments at a cocktail party about us on Friday night. See what you made me do?
It's an adventure. When the adventure starts on Monday, that's very, very exciting.
Dre's going to play itself out right now, right here.
Ah, very good. I love closure.
Yeah.
Because Gadget just came in during the commercials and said that scary Jeff Hedges went into the producer's room and said, tell them I'm ready to take their call.
Ah, good.
Okay, well, let's call.
Wonderful. Just to recap, this guy is in management here at the station.
Right.
You know, frankly, we don't know him. Guy had some awful things to say about us at a party on Friday night, said them to our producer and to other people where he knew that they would get back to us.
So, haven't had a lot of contact with him, and we'll find out once and for all exactly what's going on. There's our fantastic inter-house phone system.
I got to call back up to the front desk now.
All right. Very good. We'll get this taken care of. There's always a controversy here. It is always an adventure.
Trinity Broadcasting, WGFK.
Colette, can we talk to Hedges, please?
Sure. One moment, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, maybe he does. Who knows? We'll find out. I'm just waiting. I have no idea how this is going to go.
Me either.
Could be healthy.
No. I knew the guy had a problem, frankly.
Hello?
Yes, Jeff, it's Don and Mike. We understand that you're ready to talk to us.
Well, I had three people on the conference call, and there was only one of you, 3-1, and you lost. I had to do it.
All right, okay.
I'm ready now.
All right, what the hell is going on?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Okay, well, my producer, Charles Broyhill.
Yeah?
Comes to me and says, hey, at the party on Friday night.
Yeah.
Party that Mike and I did not attend.
Why weren't you there?
Well, that's not relevant.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's not relevant.
Oh, I was just curious.
Okay.
I thought you guys would have been there to see Mr. Shrinsky off.
I had a personal situation.
Okay.
Well, you got a problem with that, bud?
No.
Okay.
Go on with your story.
So, the story is, as I hear it, that you walk up to a group of men, including Charles Broyhill, Alan, maybe Ken was standing there, maybe he wasn't, and you start talking about us. And you called us a couple of fat F's, and you said that you'd like the chance to come in here and put us in our place.
Is that accurate?
Semi.
Huh. So again, what's your problem?
Well, first of all, you guys got to settle down to the notion that the difference between personal and comedic. I got nothing with you guys personally. I don't even know you.
That's what we were saying. We were saying earlier that we really don't know you.
Well, explain the comedy to me, then.
You didn't think it was funny?
Not the way it was presented, I guess.
Explain it to me. Maybe it was in the delivery. Explain to me why that was funny.
Well, I think they were asking me how I enjoyed my newfound celebrity status being on your show with, what is that bit you do where you play the Dracula music?
Okay.
That was all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Being a reasonably private person, and after having listened to this for a year, I guess I'd had enough. And
all right, so that upsets you.
Just let me ask you, did it ever occur to you maybe to come up to, I know, well, you never talked to me, but I know you talked to Mike, to ever walk up to either one of us and say, hey, guys, you know, cool it on that?
Because that, I know, if you don't know anything about us, that, to be perfectly honest with you, that's done through the proper channels, that actually works.
And those
if
channels...
something is really...
Those channels would be what?
You walking up to us and telling us, you know, man to man, that you, you know, hey, this is really embarrassing. Please don't do it. I mean, if it's done in a civil
guys,
way...
For mercy, I would figure that it would really get cranked up then.
Well, you see, what you don't understand is because you don't know
how
us.
How could you work here and not know anything about us, man? How can we be friends with so many salespeople back there? And they all know the difference between when we're doing the show and when we're not on the radio. I mean... It's not that tough to figure out, man.
And it's probably, you know, I would venture to say, for those people that we've had long-term relationships with that have worked in sales or worked in the business end of it,
right,
people that have known us, and I'm going to say over 5 years,
okay,
that people that are recurring bit characters on this show, people that have been on the show, there's probably with every one of them.
I mean, there are certain things that people get, if they get fed up with, if they come to us,
mm-hmm,
and they say something to us, if there's any kind of relationship there, but certainly, you know, not going to a party and saying to a group
of people that we're fat F's and you'd like to come on this show and put us in our place.
Especially when, you know, if you had indicated that, you know, what we're doing, that bit is, you know, a la anything we'd be doing about Tim McWilliams, that type of stuff. I never perceived it as something that...
And, you know, I guess what I'm pissed about is the fact that you just didn't come up to me. You know what I mean? You think I'm a fat F, or you'd like to tell me to shut up? Well, say it to my face. Don't say it to a group of people when I'm not there.
So, I mean, if you want to know the proper channels, you know, there are no channels. It's just basically...
You walk up and say something to
you
us.
You know, say, hey, that, you know, could you knock it off?
And that works, and it doesn't get cranked up, and nothing more happens.
No, listen, okay, for the last time, you know, for being a guy that's been in the radio business as long as you've been in, either Mike and I are damn good at radio, or you're damn silly that you don't, I guess you must really believe everything you hear on the radio. You must really think that we're a couple of friggin' monsters. Huh? Don't you think it'd be possible that someone would say to us, hey, knock it off, and we'd say, hey, okay.
Well, let's say I had reasonable doubt.
What? Yeah, but based on what?
Well, just...
Based on what? What you hear on the radio?
Well, isn't that all true?
Well, okay, Jeff, what do you think? Do you think I really act like this when I go home at night? Do you think I yell at my wife like this when I go home?
No, she probably runs that show.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I just... All we're trying to do is... establish where that came from, and if it, you know...
Listen, either way, this comes back to you. Whether you thought it would be resolved like that or not, you didn't take the step to find out. And you then went behind our backs, and might I say, pretty cowardly, you know, mm-hmm, calling us names in front of other people and stuff, when you never even gave it a chance to come to us and ask us. I don't understand if you're pissed off you came to us and said, hey, knock it off, and then we didn't. Or, as you say, if we cranked it up another notch, we never even gave us that bit of hospitality.
Well, you see, if you guys got the microphone and I'm wrong on the belief that you wouldn't crank it up, then it gets worse, not better.
What do you think now, Jeff? You're on the radio now.
Right.
Right. You have your format. Anything you want to say? I understand that at this party on Friday night, you said you had a whole bunch of stuff you wanted to say to us. Put us in our place. Well, here you go. Here's your forum. I'm not afraid of you.
But you wouldn't want your listeners to hear it, would you?
Sure. What's that? I mean, what do you have to say?
What do you have to say? Do you have issues with us?
No.
You don't?
No, just drop the Dracula music.
You don't like the Dracula music?
Well, right.
But, I mean, what I'm saying to you is that if someone comes to us and says they are bothered by that, and you come to us individually and say that, I mean...
It's done. Every time it's done. And no, I'm not afraid of anything you want to say to my listeners. You go ahead. Anything you want to say? We always say I'm fat. Oh, that would really cut me to the quick. Well, you're bald.
See, I mean, it's a two-way street. That's the way it goes. So, I mean, I still don't... get kind of where it comes from. But if it came from the, you know, the bit that we were doing about you...
Which wasn't an everyday bit, incidentally.
And really, I mean, we've done a lot of things about a lot of people at this radio station. That is not something that I would have personally put into the category of something that I would have figured would hit the hot button. If it does, hey, fine.
All it takes is you saying something.
But you know, just come up to us and say that. I mean, because really, we don't know all the time. And if somebody comes up and says that to us, that's fine. That's no problem. But certainly the way to do it is not to, you know... Certainly not to talk to our producer and say it in front of two other people or three other people. You know, those at and fat F's. That's, you know, we wonder, especially when we really don't know where it's coming from. You understand that, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't want you guys to think I don't like you.
Oh, well, listen, we're beyond that, okay? Frankly, I don't care, and I'm sure you don't care that I don't like you. I don't care. As long as you sell the commercials for my goddamn show, I don't care.
But I think that we've established one thing, that the way to communicate with us, if there's ever a problem, is to really not do it the way we're doing it, you know, and to come to us directly if you've got a problem.
Anytime in the last year, you could have come up to us, and we would have said, okay.
And we don't have to be buddies to have that work.
Because frankly, you know, it's not like it's a bit that our whole show is hanging on, saying that you're Dracula, okay?
That's fair enough. Well, then I apologize for an inappropriate path of response and for not having enough confidence in you.
Okay. All right.
Apologies.
And hopefully, you know, whether we all like each other or not, we can, you know, we can communicate that way in the future. I hope that works out.
Well, that'll work.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.
Say bye.
Oh, no. No, that's a soap opera music. That's not the Dracula music.
Right,
that's
right.
A soap opera
that's
music.
That's soap opera music. I wasn't going to say it going in. But my theory was, you know, when I was trying to figure out...
Jesus Christ.
Where could it have come from?
What a loony bin this place is.
That's where it came from.
What a loony bin!
Amazing.
What a loony bin.
Okay. Unbelievable.
All right.
Rob.
What?
Let me see.
No,
I want to read the notes.
Just
today.
Look at it. Okay. You know, Rob is like a guy when there's a fire. Rob is standing there with a bunch of lighter fluid. Okay?
Rob.
I'm glad it's resolved because I like Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shut up, Rob.
Very good.
Yeah. Shut up. Another day. Maybe I would read your joke, Rob. But, folks, you know, you don't get that anywhere else. That's real, legitimate conflict resolved.
Very good.
Or perhaps resolved on this show.
Well,
that's the real stuff right
as
there.
Resolved as it's ever going to be.
Absolutely. That's true. That's fine. And I'm fine with that.
I think that's a testament to our show.
Mm-hmm.
That guy obviously doesn't know.
Right.
You know, something that 99% of the people listening to this goddamn show know. That we're here doing a goddamn show.
A show.
It's a show.
Show.
It's a show.
Absolutely.
It's a show.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Real slice of reality there, folks.
All right. Well, happy Monday, everybody.
Another great Monday at the ranch.
He'll be out on the street later today selling big price commercials for our show. Because he really believes in us, man. He really believes in us. Behind us 100%.
There you go.
All right.
Well, another day at the office.
Who knew?
Somebody asked me, what part of your job do you like the most? So I like the part when we're on the air. So what part do you hate the most? The most we have to walk the hallways here.
We will be... Right back. What a place. We'll do this.
Right.
To raise money for their sports teams and stuff.
Sure.
And this past weekend was the weekend that my kid's school did it. And every year, you can probably set your watch by this. I come in on the Monday after every year, and I always tell you what crappy job I've had. Like working in the drink stand or flipping hamburgers. Or one year I was a washroom attendant where I had to stand there and little kids would come in and go to the bathroom and I had to clean the toilet and stuff.
Boy, how many hours did you have to log with that one?
It's a four-hour shift each day, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But finally this year, I worked my way up the food chain to where I had what I considered to be the premier job.
And?
Driving a golf cart.
Ooh. Oh, hey, I know you love to drive the golf cart.
Because they're like senior citizens and stuff that come out and they need to be driven around.
Right.
So I had the best job ever.
I just picture you driving the elderly individuals around the area.
Well, I think I would surprise you.
Yes.
And
before I tell you when I had my meltdown, I'll tell you about a couple of things that I'm actually kind of proud of.
Okay.
First off, both my wife and I were driving the golf carts
right
on Saturday.
Separate golf carts? Or
separate golf carts.
All right.
Now, I had my choice of taking the standard four-person model,
mm-hmm.
or I could have the bigger one that held like 10 people.
Yeah, the one's got the several seats in it.
Right.
Bench seats.
I took the little one. Right. She took the big one. There's a simple circle that you had to make all the way around the school where they had, like, benches set up.
Now, did you have to go from point A to point B, or were you kind of like a tour director?
Well, you're supposed to go from point A to point B, but I found, you know, little nooks and crannies and little shortcuts. And, you know, you were supposed to stay on, like, pavement and stuff, but right. I just found it. They work great when you're just driving on, like, the baseball field.
But you weren't out on the beltway or anything.
Oh,
like
no, no,
that.
No. You know, Bart School's way in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, good.
So we're driving around, and my wife's got the big one, right? And every once in a while, we pass each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always, I'd go by and she'd have a group full of people and I'd always say something like, huh, there goes the worst driver out here. Watch out. She's a bad driver. And we'd laugh and everything. About an hour into this, I see that my wife has gotten her big golf cart stuck.
Oh, really?
That she was trying to jump a curb and apparently she had too much cart and not enough room.
All the passengers begin to put neck braces on.
So, I'd go by. You know, and I got my old lady in the back of my car. I don't mean my old lady, my wife. I mean a real
elderly woman.
A real old lady, a mm-hmm. grandma. And I go by and go, hey, what happened here? She goes, we're stuck. Can you get somebody to help? I go, sure. Come back a couple of times later, make the turnaround again, and I see that all the guys are out there fixing it. My wife broke the axle.
Oh, oh my God.
On the golf cart.
Really?
That's right.
Going over a curb.
That's right.
That's a no-no.
She broke the golf cart, so you know what happened to her? Taken off the golf cart duty. Mm-hmm. Which left just me.
You had the only functioning golf cart.
Right. Oh, I was kicking ass at this. At one point, there was an actual real scare.
Right.
Because there's tons of old people at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I'm driving around, this old guy comes up to me and says, listen, my brother, cousin, whoever it is, he's got Alzheimer's. And he's gone. We don't know where he is.
He's wandered off.
Right. So, you know, this meant I felt like one of those guys that drive a golf cart around like a mall or down at Disney World, and they got the guys
sure,
that drive
mall, the security guys.
Security guys, right?
Right.
Suddenly, boom, I'm transformed. It's like I'm going past, and there are all these people saying, can we have a ride? Can we have a ride? It's like, no, important business. Important business.
Looking trying to find a lost elderly man.
Looking for the Alzheimer's guy.
Right.
Right. Now, at this point, they gave me a walkie-talkie.
Oh, and, that's, wow. And the only thing missing is the uniform.
Right. And I'm in heaven now.
You're basically one step below a cop.
Right. Security patrol. Got the walkie-talkie.
Shame you didn't have a light on that car.
They said, on the radio, we found him. We think we found him. He's off, you know, whatever the road. Off Main Road.
He was next to the moose out front. That's where he was.
I go, Karen, I mean, this thing's got a top speed of maybe 15 miles an hour.
You got, is electric or gas?
Electric.
Electric.
But I'm still flooring it. And like, I'm like a man on a mission. But like, I'm saying, I'm screaming, get out of the way!
Right.
Emergency, get out of the way! Get out of the way! Get out of the way! I get up there. Found the guy.
You found him.
Found the guy.
Great. And thanks to the walkie-talkie and the golf cart,
yeah.
You were able to rescue the
That's
man.
That's right. And my cat-like reflexes. And, of course, my basic police work instincts.
Did you think it was necessary to cuff him, though? Did you really?
Well,
throw the cuffs on the guy. You know?
Wanted to make sure, Mike. Little pepper spray.
Oh.
Cuff him.
Restrain him and put him in the back. You know?
I had my foot on his neck for a while.
Do what the Canadian Mounties do. They hog-tie them. You know, that's what they did that to a guy in Canadian Mounties.
True. So I found him. You know, all proud of myself, going back. But the problem is, you know, like every time I do something that's good, nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
Like, remember that one time there was a car wreck, really, and the woman's car, the engine was on fire, and
you,
I stopped.
You put out the fire?
No, I just stopped and opened her door and got her out of the car.
Pulled her to safety.
Yeah, thank you.
Before the car burst into flames.
Wait, there's never a reporter around when I do. That car didn't burst into flames. What I did, pull her out of the car.
Yeah, you know, anytime you pull somebody out of anything that's burning, you make it sound as good as you possibly can. Before the car burst into flames with shards of sharp metal just flying through the air.
So I found the Alzheimer's guy, and I bring him back, and there's the whole family, and they're so happy and everything. And just as I'm standing there waiting to have the gold medal put around my neck,
right,
some other guy on a golf cart pulls up and he goes, hi there, I'll take you all back now. Why don't you all get... He had another big, gigantic golf cart.
Was he in a larger position of power at this thing?
Yeah, he had a uniform.
Oh.
So, I mean, he's like Richard Jewell. Remember that guy, Richard
yes,
Jewell?
The security right? guard, the wannabe.
So he pulls in,
yep.
and I'm just standing there, all of a sudden, there goes my glory down the road.
Oh, thanks a lot, and thank you again, and then they're gone, and there you are.
Yeah.
The unsung hero.
It's just me, and it was at that moment that suddenly it seemed like 1,000 people were screaming at me that they wanted a ride.
Right.
And here's where I had to melt them, 2 separate occasions. Because, understand, it's all day, just going in a big circle. And generally, I liked it, okay? I'm really not a people person, but because you're dealing with old people,
right.
It was, I mean, sometimes I got to pick people up to put them in the back of this cart, and
right.
Every once in a while when there's a retarded guy or something,
uh-huh.
And there was quite a few of them,
right.
I have to, you know, pick them up and get, like, the drool on me and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
Put them in the back, and, you know, say, okay, Warren, now we're going to go for a ride.
That's great.
Well, towards the end of the day, and Rob will attest to this, because Rob and his soon-to-be ex-wife came out to this event.
Right.
There was one area where they had, like, a tent where kids were playing, like, Nickelodeon-type games.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in the gymnasium, they had a craft fair.
Okay.
Maybe 40 yards apart. Right? I'm just doing the trek around. Some guy stops me. Some guy, a young guy, like maybe 35 years old. Somebody,
right.
Excuse me. Parking shuttle, excuse me.
Like you're like, you know, you're
valet and
the hired help.
Right. So I pull over and I go, yes, can I help you? He goes, I need a ride to the crafts. I said, well, as you can see there in that building, right there,
mm-hmm.
The guy sits down. He sits down and goes, I'm ready to go. I said, the building is right there. You could spit on it. The building's right there. He said, yes, I know. Take me. And finally, this is the guy. I said, no.
Right.
Get out and walk. So there's old people here that are supposed to be driving around. He says, you're not driving anybody right now. Drive me. So I said, no. And I made him get out.
And that, were there any words exchanged? Or
no, there were not. Just, you know, he just kind of gave me a dirty look.
Right.
And as it turns out, because it was so crowded there, he made faster time down to the gymnasium walking than I made driving his little golf cart.
Did he write down your meter number or anything?
No. But that was not the worst. The worst was when I got mad towards the end of the day at ladies. Ladies who thought they were Nordstrom's or Macy's or something.
So because of the job you had, you were perceived as the hired help for the day.
And I don't mind. A lot of people like ask me if I was on the custodial staff. And I said, yeah, sure, it's a beautiful school. You know, I didn't mind.
Sure.
But what really got me was, and it was always at the end of the day, both days, my shift was 1 to 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
About 5:30, ladies that buy, like, they had, like, big antiques and knickknacks and crafts and stuff.
I would imagine there'd be a pretty good rush at about 5:30.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to get out. And again, this cart was supposed to be for senior citizens and people that can't walk.
Right.
Well, these ladies start stopping me. They go, excuse me. Like they're hailing a cab. So, excuse me. So I pull out and go, yes, can I help you? Can you take me to the parking lot? I go, well, you know, okay, sure, I'll take you to the parking lot. Lady stands there, swear to God, stands there and goes, those are my packages. And I looked at her and I went, yes, they are. And it was like a stare down for a second. And finally she said, well, aren't you going to load them? I'll load them. I'll load them right between your butt cheeks, honey.
You get to load them.
Yeah, but now keep in mind, I'm there as a volunteer at my kid's school. So what do I do? Because I'm a schmuck, I go over and I pick up all her boxes.
Oh, you did. I can't believe you
did. Pick them all up. I put them in the back. She sits next to me. I go, where are we going, ma'am? Now, most people,
those are my packages. I can't believe. And that's like, that's the kind of, you know, where you're just mud. Those are my packages.
Right. Most people were content just to be taken to the corner of the parking lot. They get off. They say, thank you very much. Like, I had a bunch of nice old people saying, oh, you've earned your wings today and all this other crap.
Right,
know?
Right. But most people, would you say the majority of people are nice about
very
it?
Very appreciative.
Right.
They love the fact that they would drive around and sound like a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was these ladies, the Nordstrom shoppers, is what I call them. There's more than
right.
one of them.
Uh-huh.
That I'd pull up to the corner of the parking lot. I'd go, well, there you are. Oh, aren't you going to take me to my car?
Oh!
Take you directly to your car?
Yeah, I'll take you to your car, lady.
All right, so again, and I'm reminding myself, I'm here for my kid.
Right. And you know that
he doesn't appreciate it, but I'm here for him.
They're the type of people also that if you made a stink about
they'd
that,
complain.
They'd let it, you know, they'd scream it from the highest mountain. That's the type of person that would do that.
So take her to her car. Well, the brown Oldsmobile or whatever it is. It's like a mile away. We finally get there. I go, well, okay. You know, I feel like a goddamn bus driver. I go, thank you. Thanks very much. She goes, beep, beep. Opens up her trunk. And again, same exercise.
Sits there.
No, she gets out of the car, just stands there. And I go, well, thank you very much. I got more people to take. The packages. And I said,
Right.
How foolish of me. How could I have forgotten? Put the package in the car.
Yeah. Then late at night, about 9 o'clock, you know, from the parking lot comes this sound.
Let me out! Let me out! The man, the bad man put me in the trunk of the car. I know.
But I did have some fun because the first lady that did that to me, she really pissed me off. The second lady, by that time, I just let it go.
It's all degrees, too, right? Certain ladies really have the tune, other people know.
The last lady yesterday, this was 5:30, last lady I'm taking on my route, where again, she's like, can you take my package? At least she said, please take my packages.
Right.
So, load all her crap in, we're driving along, and now I'm like a goddamn bus driver, because I've been on this little, mile course. I say to her, you know, speed bump coming up. Watch out. You know, I'm doing the same shtick every time around.
Right, right. Same
speed
deal.
Speed bump coming up. Okay, watch out. A little bit of a crack in the pavement here. So I'm giving her all of the stuff like, watch out.
Giving her the full routine.
She says, I go, speed bump coming up. We go over the speed bump, and she says to me, you could have slowed down. Now, keep in mind, I'm in a golf cart that has a top speed of maybe 15 miles an hour, right? This thing got no pickup anyway. It's like, I put my foot on the gas, and it would go,
you could have slowed down. Get out.
So, now I'm pissed.
Right.
I said, well, I'm sorry. I tell you what. We'll go a little off the track so we don't have to worry about the speed bump anymore. And I don't even give her a chance to say anything. I just cut right across the baseball field. And I mean this old lady. She's bouncing up and down. And it was fantastic. It was great fun.
I guess you have to know how to play the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But sucks.
I could never be like a bus driver or something like that. I could absolutely never do it.
Have a major, major meltdown. We're going to take a little shortcut over the four-wheel drive territory.
And the one thing that I wanted to do, I didn't get to do, I wanted to give Rob a ride. In the golf cart. Would have saved his marriage, but right.
My marriage, but forget it.
So your marriage ended yesterday, Rob?
Very close.
Mm-hmm.
Last ditch effort.
Saw Rob and Carrie come in, but then after I saw them, boom, they're gone.
Right.
Yeah, so that was it.
That's good. Well, at least, you got a chance to experience the thrill of being a public service driver.
It sucks. And I was so angry last night then when we got home. It's like, my wife said, what are you so mad about? I said, what am I so mad about? I was working out there. Since you were driving a golf cart.
Right.
I said, honey, I was working. You know, and like for the first time I realized what it must really feel like to really work for a living.
There you go.
Because let's face it, you know, this is not exactly manual labor sitting there just talking into a microphone.
And you're treated with respect around here out of fear.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Certainly not by our audience.
No, not by our audience and not by our bosses. But everybody in between.
Yeah. Oh, but Christ.
Yeah.
What a day. What a day.
Too bad.
Now we got a break. Then we'll be right back.
Disappointed me. There is. You're right.
I mean this seriously. I drive around, and yeah, I see that maybe the Potomac River is a little lower. God damn it, I want to tell you something. This earth is 75% water. Okay?
Hey, that is a wonderful angle. I didn't think of that one.
I'm telling you that there is no freaking doubt that there is no drought. There is no drought. I'm tired of hearing about it. I don't water my plants, and I don't wash my car, but frankly, I'm going to start doing it now.
You could risk a $1,000 fine.
I want to tell you something. When I left the house today, every faucet is running.
Oh, man.
I flush every toilet 10 times today. No, I didn't really do that, but I don't understand.
Are you on a well or are you on a
public well?
You're on a well.
We're on a well.
You kind of dance into your own drummer there anyway, but now even people on wells, they're talking about that many wells draw from the same water table.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe it. I mean, I understand that there hasn't been a lot of rain and that crops are dying. That part I will give you.
I won't ask you a question that I know you wouldn't have the answer to.
Go ahead. Maybe I do.
How deep is your well?
I don't know.
How many gallons per minute do you get out of your well?
I have no freaking idea. You're right. I don't know the answer to those questions.
Okay.
These are the I can't bother my pretty mind with these details.
That's true. You just get, you know, that you turn the faucet on and it works.
And it's there. And frankly, I'm tired of the hoopla now about the drought, and that we got to have mandatory water use,
mm-hmm.
and that you got to be careful, and that I actually heard someone on TV today say that unless you're doing number two in the toilet,
mm-hmm.
that you should just let it stay there for a while.
Right, right.
No, absolutely not.
Don't take your water away?
Right. Listen, all right, Robbie. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Well, that sounds like it could have been actually issued during a drought.
It was.
Right there.
A California
drought.
It was.
Really? That's where that came from.
They had a drought in California for about 8 years.
Right. Yeah, they always have a drought in California.
Right. And there's my point. They're doing fine.
Right.
There is water around, baby. Hell, call Evian.
Well, that's what they want people to do.
Sure.
They want people to go buy the bottle of water. That's what they want
people
to do.
Well, that's all part of the scam, Biden.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I frankly just...
So it's really not... It's really raining outside or
no,
what?
No, listen. We're not having a drought. We've got tons of water. There's water everywhere. There's not a drought. There's not a drought. Take a bath every hour if you want. You know, and when you brush your teeth, leave the water on. When you shave, leave the water on. If you go to the bathroom and just a little tinkle comes out, go ahead and flush. It's only 5 gallons. That I researched. Every time you flush the toilet, it's 5 to 6 gallons of water.
5 to 6 gallons?
Every time you flush the commode.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's if you have an old toilet. If you have one of the new toilets, isn't it like a gallon and a half or something like that with the low water toilets they have?
The new toilets hold like 1.6 gallons.
Yeah.
The old toilets hold 3.5 gallons, but the flush uses actually a little more than that, so it would be 5 or 6.
I'm going to ask a technical question here because I'm also on a well, and I heard something that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I heard that comment about when you're talking about rural areas where people are on well water, that everyone's drawing from the same water table. And I am not sure if that was the case, then how would you account for wells of differing depths all over? I know this is a technical question, but if you were all drawing from the same water source, how would you possibly all be drawing from the same water table?
It depends on your elevation.
Right.
Because the water's all going to be at the same level.
Listen,
but if you're above sea level,
the point of this is there's plenty of water in the world.
But most of it's salty.
Oh, Christ. Listen, if there's
you got to listen to Mr. Burbank. He's right. It's salt water.
If there's really a drought, I say don't take it from me, don't take it from Mike, don't take it from Buzz. You know, go to Waterworld. You know,
I agree.
Tell them to turn off the water slide for an hour.
Well, that's one of those places that recycles the water.
There's good news.
And isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
And in car washes, that's why they want you to wash your car at a car wash, because they recycle the water.
Well, frankly, I'm sorry, I'm not a believer.
Would this be...
I'm just not a believer.
This would be almost along the lines of certain forecasts that you hear. I think you're measuring this against the meteorologist saying we're going to get a big snowstorm when you say it's not going to happen.
Well, no, I see that it's not raining, and then it hasn't rained for a month and a half. I see that. I'm just saying, look at a globe, okay?
Right.
Look how much is blue, and look how much is brown.
But it's all salt.
Okay, don't we have a machine like Kevin Costner did in Waterworld?
That's what we need.
Kevin Costner, he turned his pee into drinking water in Waterworld.
There are lots of, they're called desalinization, right?
And they have those, but
they have
those. Not very efficient. They don't really produce a lot of clear water.
All right, so you got to drink a little salty water. Like it would kill you, right? Maybe you got to...
Give you cramps.
You got to take a bath or something. Maybe you got to take a bar of soap in the ocean with you.
You know, can I offer my 2 cents on this matter? I think really, if you're concerned about this water, drink beer.
Bathe with
drink
beer.
Drink beer. Why not just drink and bathe with beer? You shampoo, it works great. Beer, you know, there's plenty of beer in the world.
And listen, I come into work every day and I see plenty of water towers when I come into work. I don't see any big signs that say, out of order.
Right.
We've got tons of water. Tons of water. No problem. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
So you're telling people to run out into the street and open their faucets?
If they'd like to. There's not going to be a problem. It's never going to get to the point where you turn it on and you're going to have dirt come out of your faucet. You're always going to have water.
You don't think we're going to have the Great Dust Bowl?
No.
Like it happened out there in the Depression, the Great Depression?
And furthermore, you know, a month from now it's going to be hurricane season. And we're gonna get like 8 inches of rain in 1 hour, and then we're gonna be screaming, "Oh, that there's too much water! Please, please turn on your sprinklers, please!"
They're saying that's exactly what we need. We need two. That's about a month ago. They said that we need two tropical systems to come up and dump water. But they're already saying now that the drought this year is going to take in many regions years to get back to where we were.
Please, come on.
All I know is ever since I moved to the great state of Virginia. Mm-hmm. Every summer has been a drought.
Every right. single summer has been a drought.
Right, there's no big cracks in the Earth's surface. Things are still fine.
You mean you're talking about like that desert look where you look out there?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, the grass is still green. You turn on your...
grass is green where they have irrigation systems.
You turn on your faucet and you know what you get? You get water. And frankly, you know, green grass is overrated in my opinion. I swear to God, we have not watered our lawn once all summer. And I could give a rat's ass about it.
How's your lawn look?
Like crap. I could care less.
See, what you have been doing, unbeknownst to you, you've been doing your part by not watering your lawn.
Well, that's why I'm starting to water it now.
Yeah, we'll do it and it'll go when it's already all dead.
No, but I will be using my fair share of water, Mike.
Right.
And that's my goal, to use as much water as I possibly can.
Even though you don't need it.
Until the drought is over. Right?
Don Geronimo, super patriot.
That's right.
Conservationist.
Listen, all I'm saying is, they can call it a drought. I know that there are problems with the crops, but please, everybody, we're not going to run out of water. That's all I want to say. Thank you. And God bless the United States of America.
Now, if 3 years from now, we still haven't had any rain.
All right, then I'll
then
be wrong.
Then come and talk to you.
Then I'll be wrong.
So you got a whole 3 years, I think, before you'd really... what would it be? Well, no, probably about a year, right? If we rain...
No, if we didn't get any more rain at all, we've got a lifetime supply of water.
Some communities say they've only got about 3 or 4 weeks worth of water left in their reservoirs.
They're lying.
The Potomac River...
full of it, Buzz.
The Potomac River is down to less than half its normal depth.
Right. Who drinks the Potomac water?
Everybody in Washington, D.C.
Well, I thought you guys just said you couldn't drink that water.
Washington, D.C.'s water just got rated as being very drinkable, very tasty and good for you. You know, now that I'm boating in that river again, and I see...
Yeah, would you drink that water? That muddy, crappy, feces-infested water?
I'm not even sure I'd want to take a dive in there, but a lot of people do. It's suitable for you know, swimming in, and I don't think you can, you know, go into the river, take a big... scoop of water and drink it like that. It's got to be treated, but that's where they're getting water. And you can really see evidence out in the tributaries and stuff of the...
Plenty of water. Go to Seattle.
I'm saying you can see evidence that there is not plenty of water, that it's really...
I'm saying I see that when I drive over the American Legion Bridge. I see that the Potomac River is less than it had been. Mm-hmm. Hell, get a truck and go to Seattle. Just sit outside. It rains every day in Seattle.
Yeah, you'd think with the, you know, we can put a man on the moon. And how many times do people say, hey, we can put a man on the moon, why can't we get water here?
I'm serious about that. Don't worry about the drought, everybody. There's lots more important things to worry about than the fact that you're not going to have your drink.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In Maryland, they're saying
Governor Kneejerk. Governor Kneejerk Glendening.
By the little things they're doing, they're just talking about being able to conserve a, you know, through this difficult time.
Oh, please.
Conserve a tremendous amount of water.
It's not a difficult time. Who's having a difficult time? Has anybody here had a difficult time? And I'm not talking about farmers. How have you had a difficult time?
My well ran dry.
Okay, buy a new one. Listen, very simple. You make a very good living, Mike.
Buy
yourself a new well.
It'll just pump air. They said that, you know, we have a very low, what's called a very low yield in our well.
Don't know where the water is.
Because of the conditions, it's actually exacerbated because of that. And I have to conserve water. Anyway, ever since I've had my well, because my yield is so low, so I do it. I do it all the time.
So you have a crappy well.
I do have a crappy well.
You have to get yourself a better well.
It's very, very expensive, and you never know. And you don't know how expensive it's going to be.
You've got the coin
until they.
I know you do. I know how much money you make. You can afford to buy yourself one.
Don't want to. Don't care to. Don't care to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here we go.
But I think you've got a very interesting point of view.
Here we go. Now the people are really going to take the 100%
so seriously.
Of course they are. Hello, Bob.
Hello there.
Yes, Bob. Hello, Bob.
You drive by water towers, you don't see water. Try driving by a reservoir. You're going to see dirt.
Bob, those water towers are full, buddy.
You are correct.
You can tell that by driving by.
Yes, I can, Bob.
That's
my X-ray vision, Bob.
And don't let's tell the truth. You know where all the water is, don't you?
Shooting bald eagles and killing black rhinos.
Bob, don't worry about it.
There's plenty of them out there.
Your faucets will always give you bright, fresh, clean water. There will never be a problem, Bob.
Yeah, well, if you keep using it and abusing it like that, I'm going to be getting dirt.
Right. How am I abusing it, Bob?
Well, you're telling everybody to go out and water their lawn?
No, he's not doing that.
The only thing... and, you know, when you shave, let the water run.
No, wait a minute.
Here's a guy.
Hold on. Right. The only thing Don does when when there's a little bit of a drought, he conserves water. He gives a little less to the baby seals he keeps in his pool.
When I'm not clubbing them. Okay, Bob. Keep taking it so seriously, sir. Keep taking it seriously. Keep thinking I really have all my thoughts at the home running, okay?
Turn them on.
What?
Turn them on.
Oh, turn them on.
I thought you just told me to turn them off.
Well, now you're going to go home and turn them on, I can tell.
See, I'll tell you what's going on. I think when he called initially, he had his dander up a little bit, but then he decided, well, no, maybe he's kidding.
Right. My advice to everybody, really, on your way home tonight, go out and buy yourself a waterbed. I'm serious about that.
We ought to think of all all the really good uses for water.
Waterbeds, man.
Sure, absolutely.
They kick ass. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Greetings, Radio God.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
Hello.
Well, my one comment is, I drive over the Potomac River, and all that water is flowing down river, and all this southern Maryland and northern Virginia's water comes from the Potomac River. By not watering my lawn, all that water is still going out to the river, out to the ocean. I'd rather have it in my yard, you know?
Dad, you know something?
Thank you, sir.
That is positively brilliant.
Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Is it my only point in this? Seriously? Stop the freaking panic.
Yeah, new shows have right. Something to talk about. Right. That's what it is.
That's really my serious point. That, yeah, of course, if you're going to get a ticket and get fined $500, for God's sakes, don't wash your car and don't water your lawn. But listen, it's not to the point where, like, people have to start hoarding water and you have to leave a bathtub and five people have to take a bath in the same dirty water.
Would I be out of line?
I saw that on Channel 4 today.
Really?
A good way to save water would be to fill a bathtub and let four or five members of your family bathe in the same water before you release it down the drain.
Yeah, that's foolish.
Right, you get their gribblies all over you and stuff. Please. What, are you doing that?
No, we've done it for about a year. We now leave the Don and Mike Show. For-